He was actually there yesterday at the courthouse when Kenny Rogers was booked. Continue, if you can, Deep Throat.
He broke free of our constables at one time, and it really scared us.
Really?
We thought he was going to make a break for it. But instead, he ran into the jail and had real quick man love to establish dominance.
I don't see how he had time to do all this stuff. Sounds like he was there for like 15 minutes.
Don't you speak.
Oh.
None of the media is safe.
What do you mean?
He made many threats to media members within the shot of my ear.
Really? Like what?
He threatened to expose Mike Deuce's cocaine problem. He threatened to expose Mike Deuce's cocaine problem.
What?
I told him it was common knowledge. So he said he would instead set all of Deuce's wigs on fire.
Oh, that's awful. That is a threat.
And not just the male wigs.
Oh, there's others, huh?
He also threatened to mess in all of Sean Rand's hats.
Oh, that is terrible. Well, he hates the media.
He also said he would feed Millie a plate of donuts, sending his blood sugar into orbit.
Jeez. Because he's diabetic, of course, yes.
He also talked about Gene McGarry.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
In such a disgusting and degrading way.
Radio. Big bucks, and best of all.
So, you know you want to make a change to better vision, but how do you know which vision correction procedure is right for you? LASIK, Custom View Intralasik, CK, Crystal Lens? Your first step is a phone call to the Tylock Eye Care and Laser Center at 972-258-6400. We sponsor a complimentary vision seminar each Tuesday night. Call to reserve your seat at the seminar, and you will learn about the most proven technology and latest advancements. Dr. Tylock will also perform a live, custom-view intralasik procedure, so you can talk to a patient about what LASIK is really like. Then, to top it off, you get a $200 discount toward your LASIK procedure. So call today, and let the Tylock Eye Care and Laser Center take the confusion out of vision correction. Call 972-258-6400. That's 972-258-6400. Or visit us at Tylock.com. Tylock Eye Care and Laser Center. Let us make things perfectly clear for you.
D&M Leasing is now offering no payments for 90 days. Can you do one as an impoverished Inuit boy?
What?
How about one that is at the same time lucid and insane?
What? How about we drop the drama and just tell the good folks to call D&M at 35 Lease. That's 35-L-E-A-S-E from any local area code, or just log on to dmautoleasing.com and let a leasing specialist give them all the details.
I love that. So much castanade and bluster. You're good.
Where's the jingle?
Breaking sports news now.
Drew Bledsoe was a rookie in Bill Parcells' first year in New England. American Receivable and the Booth Eye Care and Laser Center on the ticker. The two were together for 4 years in Boston before Parcells departed for New York. Offensive coordinator Sean Payton thinks the time together has given Bledsoe an edge.
The learning curve in this last mini camp was a little bit smoother, I guess, than maybe it would be for a Kurt Warner, who's a free agent going to Arizona, or you know, anyone who goes into a new system.
Payton on with Dunn and Miller yesterday morning. Training camp will resume today with a short walkthrough and a scrimmage before an off day tomorrow. The Texas Rangers' struggles at home continue as the team has dropped 8 of the last 9 in the friendly confines of AmeriQuest Field. C.J. Wilson gave up 8 runs in 2 2/3 innings in a 10-5 loss to the Orioles. C.J. still feels he has a lot of learning to do.
I guess I'm just kind of going through the awkward stage of, you know, getting a feel for where the has the speed of everything and, you know, how everything works up here. So just trying to get acclimated, you know, get comfortable, stuff like that.
Game 2 begins this afternoon at 3. Billy Mayfair has the lead at the International heading to the third round. Mayfair has 15 points in the modified Stableford scoring system, while Brad Jobe is second with 13. That's the Ticket Ticker. Our next one starts at 10:10. Breaking sports news first, guaranteed. I'm Brandon Helms reminding you to remember the time you spend listening to the T-Box. Saturday mornings 8 to 10 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Next time you're on an elevator full of people, grimace painfully while smacking your forehead and shouting, "Shut up, all of you. Just shut up."
Okay, 9:50 on the ticket. We got the T-Box winding down. Before we get to the mix, we talked about David Duvall real quickly off the air and saw that he is at 0 points at the international, which is good for him. He started with an eagle. And you made the comment that he had one of the best lower bodies in golf before he lost all his weight.
This guy coming out of college, and when he had that spurt on tour, when he did so well, I mean, the guy won so many tournaments, was built like Fat Jack in the 60s. He had the best lower body for the game of golf that was designed for his left to right action. You know, he was thick in the waist. This guy was heavy. This guy was 215 pounds. And all of a sudden, he gets fit crazy, which is fine for health. I know that. And he lost 50-something pounds. And you're a new golfer, Craig. You are just like starting brand new. You have knowledge of the game, but you have a brand new swing. Your arms are way disconnected from your body. And then all of a sudden, he hits shots in tournaments that go left. This guy couldn't even walk to the left before. There was no left side of the golf course. And so then the confidence goes, and then it's over. I'm a huge believer.
So I said, if you came, I'll fix him. If he came to your place to get fitted, you said the first thing you'd do was what?
Oh, we go to like a month to McDonald's, then we go to, I think of Joe's Pizza and stuff, like it's one of my favorites. We'd hit everywhere. We'd go to every burger restaurant. We'd put about 50 pounds on, have fun doing it. And I'm telling you, it would all come back to him again, and he would be a star on the PGA Tour at 215 pounds. Look at the replays when he shot the 59. Look at the bucket he was carrying then. You know, he was a 38-inch or 40-inch waist. Now he's like a 29 or something.
He needs to do something because he's not making money on tour. I don't think he's made a cut since he's been back.
Put 60 pounds on, you'll make cuts.
There you go.
That's my opinion.
And back from Oxnard, A.K.A. Indiana Jones, but Gordon Keith.
Hey, guys.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back. Yeah, I flew in last night. It was a really odd flight. I got to switch headphones real quick. It only has one ear working, and it gets me so dizzy. So we fly in last night. We're in this, you're flying from Burbank, rather than LAX. And about, I don't know, we're up in the air for an hour or so, and all of a sudden the stewardess is always on the phone talking to the pilots, don't exactly know what's going on, so finally they announce that we are going to touch down in Albuquerque. We're going to stop in Albuquerque to take on fuel because DFW had some bad weather or something, and so there were planes backed up at DFW, and they didn't have enough fuel to circle a few times. I'm thinking, that's cutting it real close on the fuel thing.
Well, usually the circle time, sometimes you can circle for an hour to 2 hours.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, so you can be up there. So.
But did we have bad weather last night?
I guess in the afternoon you did. You had a lot of thunder showers and lightning and stuff. So then that backs the whole system up. We were circling once over DFW and got low, and we flew to Abilene. I'll never forget this flight. Flew to Abilene to get more fuel. Cool pilot. This was in the old days. Swear to God, Domino's Pizza, 30 pizzas on board was waiting. He had ordered it pre-done there because we had circled about an hour and a half. So
really?
Cool stuff there. But we got more fuel, came back, and did it again, and finally landed about 4 hours late.
Oh, my goodness. We were a couple hours late.
That was it?
But, yeah, but it was just so unstable.
Were you a little nervous landing?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, okay, what was this pilot doing in Burbank when he's sitting there, you know, talking to the co-pilot? John, how much fuel we got? Oh, about half a tank. We can make it. You know, why don't they gas the thing up when we're in Burbank?
Weather in Dallas is going to be a little iffy beforehand, too.
So we stop in Albuquerque. There were these two lesbians sitting across the aisle from me.
Mm.
They were going up to New England. I don't know whether it was for a commitment ceremony or what, but they were going up to New England, and so they were all nervous about missing their connecting flight. But they were lesbian.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They were
publicly displaying their
affection. Wow. And not bad looking either.
Hot?
Yeah, they were all right. They were not hot heterosexually. You threw the fact they were lesbian and,
okay.
Yeah, hot. So, they were sitting behind George. So I just enjoyed that all that sin was going on behind George.
Does George get pretty, like, uncomfortable with that stuff?
He's homophobic, yeah. I mean, he certainly hates
gays. How do homophobes deal with lesbians?
Privately, they work their bodies over while thinking about them. But publicly, they're really against it, you know, politically. That sort of thing. So we finally got in last night. That was it. It was pretty uneventful. We had a good week of broadcasting. A lot of funny moments, a lot of funny times in the hotel rooms and stuff. Okay. Nobody got in a fight. Nobody got mad at each other.
I mean, you guys usually work and then leave each other, and you all stay in the same hotel, spend the whole week together. Mm-hmm. Usually a little bit of tension gets going.
No, and I was thinking about this, and we brought this up on the show. Craig brought it up. I think it is so normal, it never occurred to me that I guess other businesses don't make people room together.
No.
When they send people on the road.
No. Well, especially at your guys' level. I mean, you guys are talent, on their talent, they usually wouldn't let somebody at that level, which would be kind of a vice president level or something. You never room with anybody.
Well, man, this is the only real adult job I've ever had, and you can barely consider this adult. And so I didn't know any better. I just assumed that everyone roomed together because it makes sense. Companies trying to save money, you get people to room together. Well, and so I was thinking, you know, towards the end of the week, you know, everybody gets along so well, it's like not a real hassle for us to room together.
Does anybody demand having their own room? Anybody say
only
like
two people?
Yeah,
and you know, but Norm has started to room with Frito. Norm always used to get his own room.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came from Cliff, you know, down there, or up there, I guess, they're a few floors above us, up there, they used to all get their own rooms. Every show host, I guess, got their own rooms. Well, of course, when Norm moves here, the ticket works differently, so it's to share. Well, for the first few years, Norm would, I just can't room with anyone. So he would pay out of pocket for his own room. Guess who else gets their own room? There's one guy at the station who pays out of pocket for his own room because he refuses to room with
someone. I would guess Dan.
Dan McGowell. That's
is that right?
Yep. That's correct.
So who does Bob room with?
You nobody. Know. Bob gets a free room. Bob and Dan used to room together. But now Dan, I don't know how long this has been going on, but now he just, and that's 2 weeks worth of a hotel room that Dan pays for to have his own room.
Wow.
You know, at whatever, 129.
Drive down, like when they weren't going down to San Antonio for things or Austin for things, he'd drive by himself.
Yeah, and he also
can't carpool.
He won't ride with someone on long trips.
Is it a weed thing?
I don't know.
Too many channel choices in the rooms at night.
I think it's, Bob Skirm speculates it's a couple things. Maybe illegal substances and maybe impure movies.
Maybe,
And internet.
Yeah, maybe he, since he's paying his own bill, he doesn't want people seeing what his pay-per-view choices are for the week.
Could be. Man Camp 3. And all that stuff. So, yeah, I thought that was odd. That Dan McDowell, of all people, would be the guy who had to have his own place.
It is kind of bizarre.
Because you'd think of anyone, it'd be like Grego or something.
Right. I think in the case of Dan, it's not necessarily because he's a prima donna. It's more that he's just kind of weird.
He's got things going on.
He's a
cool I agree.
You know,
but as far as antisocial, you'd think I would be the most antisocial.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing, too. Being in corporate America before I started the magazine, I always had my own room. I would struggle going back to room with somebody now. Not
really
doing anything that I do in my room, anything unique. It's just I've always had my own room.
Well, and I also think that it makes a big difference. I mean, if you were throwing potluck in with just some other guy who's worked down the hall and you don't know him, I mean, we all know each other really well, and we're, you know, Craig and I are best friends, so, you know, it's like, it's not that big a deal. But if you threw me in with some guy from sales, then I'm paying out of pocket, get my own room.
I had a situation. We used to This was in back in the day. We would send salespeople out for training, and we would give them, you know, salespeople would give them roommates. So we had this woman who was in training from Wichita, Kansas, and a guy from Tyler going to training out in Atlanta. And the woman from Wichita was rooming with this other woman, and the guy in Tyler was hitting on her, her roommate, really hard, to the point where she got uncomfortable. And the woman, the girl from Wichita, found out about it, went out and just kicked his ass.
Right, oh my
in the
goodness!
Middle of the whole group. I mean, she just railed into him. She was
physically or
just physically killed him. I mean, just beat the crap out of him. The two trainers were pulling her off and trying to do whatever. And just, I mean, the guy was just, I mean, beat to hell. And so it was a big black mark on my record because.
What's wrong with guys who can't take the hint? You know, when the girl gives him the brush off, he doesn't know. He just keeps pestering.
I don't know.
Why do we do that, Dave?
I give up. I just go curl up in a bottle.
That's what I do. I try to find love in the bottom of a whiskey glass at that point.
Or in your own hotel room, right?
Kill me. Yeah.
Man Camp 3.
I try to, yeah. Man Camp 3, and I try to find love between the mattress and box spring.
Does that work?
Huh? Yeah.
Huh. Does it approximate buttocks?
I'm sorry? Excuse me? We're talking about golf.
Oh.
Hey, and the other theory is the ticket makes us room together because they know it's a bit incubator.
Well, yeah. That's definite.
They know that it gets stories, and
it definitely helps the kind of the, I guess, the mystique of the road trip.
Uh-huh.
And creating all the funny stories and scenarios.
Right.
But did they send you to a budget hotel? Are you guys in a nice place, or?
Oh, I think it's pretty nice. I mean, it's, you know, it's like $100 a night or something. I mean, the hotel seems nice. I think it's a Marriott or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you guys do the morning show, you do it from one of your rooms? Or do you do it from a room down at the Cowboys facility?
No, we stay in a different town than Oxnard, an adjacent town, and we drive in, you know, whatever, 15, 20 minutes, and then do our show from another hotel room that's at the Cowboys practice facility.
But it's not, it's part of the Cowboys facility. It's not like the ticket is paying for that room too, right?
I think we pay for that room.
Really?
Too, yeah.
I bet they'd have a rental fee for something like that.
Yeah. Oh,
that's crazy.
And that's the engineer's room. They stay in that room.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's why you find the engineers are sleeping during our show.
They just crawl in bed.
Yeah, I mean, they engineer the show from the end of the bed. I mean, that's where the setup, the mixing board and everything is, at the end of the bed, the foot of the bed. And so they just lay down and they start snoring. So unstable, because our show starts at 3:30 local time in California, which is so early. You know, like we stopped at a gas station on the way to the broadcast on Thursday morning. And, you know, I'm getting like power bars and Diet Coke or something for breakfast and paper. And the guy behind me was, you know, obviously on his way home, all tatted up and everything. And as I'm checking out, he's right beside me behind this rack of candy bars, just stuffing his pants, just shoplifting. You know, it's just a convergence of worlds there. I'm going to work in my generic businessman job, and he's coming home and getting everything loading up.
So did you turn him in?
Yeah, I did. I did. I like, the guy behind the counter kind of looked over at the guy a little bit weird, you know, and I...
And you mouthed.
No, I did the old take my finger and point over to him where, you know, he can't see that I'm pointing to him, but so I pointed to him. And then I get in the car, and Craig's driving, and I say, man, you see that guy? I mean, the guy looked like Clockwork Orange figure, you know, kind of thing. Man, that guy in there is shoplifting, and the, you know, clerk acknowledged that he knew that he was shoplifting, so he's about to confront the guy. And Craig's like, oh. And he drove off. And meanwhile, the guy looked like he was
murdered.
Yeah, the guy looked like he was armed. It was just a little short Iranian clerk, you know, and Craig just drove off.
See you later.
Yep. See you later.
We'll just read about that in the paper tomorrow.
I know. So, it's fun time. Fun time good.
So you guys are going back, right?
Going back. We got this week here in town. We're going to cover the Cowboys from the Dallas angle.
And then is there anybody in camp next week from the ticket?
Norm and Bad Radio.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So they staggered after the first week.
So does Norm, mm-hmm. Does Dan need a private plane to get out there too? Or
that's what I'm wondering. I wonder if he doesn't like to fly with people.
He might drive by himself.
So if it's like $130 a night, he's spending 2 weeks out there. How much money is that?
He's probably breaking even.
About $2,000.
Breaking even?
Gosh.
About $2,000.
All for spank privileges.
I'm out.
Okay, coming up, you got the rant.
Got the rant, yes.
This is The Ticket. KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger. Rock beats scissors. Scissors beats paper. Paper beats rock. Hello, this is Belvedere Vodka for The Beautiful Life. And today we're discussing that most beautiful game, rock, paper, scissors. A caveat. If you think this is a game of chance, you're a fool and will be beaten like scissors to rock. Hint, know the enemy. If your enemy leads with rock, he prefers brute force to strategy. Destroy him with cunning tactic. If paper is his chosen lead, he is a sneaky ferret trying to turn aggressive play against you. His strategy will, however, change if faced with losing. The specter of imminent defeat turns even the subtlest player into a rock-wielding troglodyte. If he is a scissors man, he combines the heavy-handed force of rock with the finesse of paper. You will need to be at your best to vanquish him. Celebrate vanquishing him with a Belvedere, the only vodka worthy of rock, paper, scissors, and the beautiful life.
Indulge moderately. Belvedere Vodka, 40% alcohol by volume, distilled from rye, millennium, and port, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh boy, Robbie, come on in. Get on in here. Welcome to my home again.
Thanks. That's a nice place you got here, Grego.
Oh, yeah. You know, nice I do place. What I can.
I appreciate you putting up so many pictures of me. There's as many pictures of me as there is Elvis.
Oh, you like that? The wall-to-wall pictures? Yeah, that's the way I do it.
That's really I'd nice.
Alternate every other one. Robbie, Elvis, Mama. Robbie, Elvis, Mama.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is a little bit. Kind of creepy. All right, so time for your weekly massage. Just get over here on the old massage table.
That's
start your weekly massage here. Oh, yeah. Oh,
you're tough. That's not my back.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say, turn on over. All right. Get there. All right. Yeah, you're on the front. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, this feels good.
Gregor, it's not supposed to make you feel good.
The Ticket's Drop Page Radio. The Ticket's Drop Page Radio. The
Ticket's Drop Page Radio. Gregor, that's supposed to make you feel good.
Oh, yeah, sorry, forgot. Well, I wanted to let you know here, Ralphie, that I'm using a new salve that you can see here.
Whoa, hold on. What's in that thing? The last thing I need is to have some sort of banned substance in there and test positive.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's just got some lanolin and some lidocaine and some hemi bark and some of Clyde's dung. Some of mine. Ginstoids, dilute, plant rhodesic. This is all my own recipe.
Here. Well, I thought this was steroids. I guess.
No, okay. It's got a little angel dust in it and the ground up bones of John Ritter. Just standard stuff.
All right, go ahead, rub off.
It's my own recite.
Yeah.
All right, John.
Recite.
There we go. Let me just wrap some on. Get some. Yeah, look at that. Oh, yeah.
That feels pretty good.
Oh, God, you're so great, Robbie. Oh, I just love you. That's saying a lot to me because I grew up hating Mexicans.
I'm not from Mexico. I'm from Cuba.
The Ticket Drop Page Radio.
Isn't technology great? I love listening online when it's convenient for me. Hi, this is Dane Miner, General Manager of Freeman Toyota. Are you aware that you can buy a car with the same ease and convenience that you're enjoying right now while listening online? Log on to FreemanToyota.com and you can get a price quote from one of our managers. You can appraise your trade, get a payment quote, discuss different options for financing. All of this information is readily available for you, and Freeman Toyota is happy to provide it for you without you even stepping foot on our lot. A couple of incentives running right now. You can lease a Camry for $249 a month for 36 months. Or how about a 41-mile-per-gallon Corolla for $199 a month for the same 36 months. Both of these offers are with zero out-of-pocket. Freeman Toyota will deliver your vehicle and paperwork to your home or office to try to save you time and money. We've sold over 1,000 customers year-to-date right over the web. Our customers are telling us that their purchase was the easiest, most pleasant car buying experience ever. Come and see why at FreemanToyota.com.
sauces, Frank's Red Hot Hot Sauce has been adding the perfect balance of flavor and heat to all your favorite foods like burgers, pizza, soups, and chicken since 1920.
I can't see!
That's a shame. And it was the secret ingredient in the original recipe for buffalo wings.
I can't feel my legs.
Mm-hmm. Frank's Red Hot, the only one with red hot flavor.
Stop by your neighborhood food retailer and pick up a bottle of Frank's Red Hot to add the perfect blend of heat and flavor to your favorite summer foods. Stock up on all four flavors of Frank's Red Hot Hot Sauce today. Frank's Red Hot, the only one with red hot flavor.
Sports news first, guaranteed.
After an eight-game rookie season last year, Julius Jones might not have gotten the lessons he would have otherwise in a full season. This figure brought to you by Dish Connection and Romano's Macaroni Grill. Jones' average of 4.2 per carry still impressed Parcells enough for him to be the main point in the offense this year. Jones is improving right in front of Parcells, which is impressing the coach.
He understands much better when to take a chance and when not to. He really has got in his dialogue to me when I say, well, what did you see there? He said, I thought I could maybe get just 2 yards inside.
Jones and the other Cowboys will have a scrimmage today to make further impressions on the tuner. Remember, you can catch the Parcells press conference today at 1:30 during Ticket Sports Saturday. The Rangers are playing 500 ball for the season, but the recent home record has been terrible. Texas has faltered in 8 of the last 9 home games. Texas will face Baltimore in game 2 of the 3-game series. The Rangers will send John Watson to the mound with an 0-1 record, but a 4.35 ERA. The Orioles will counter with 8-9 Daniel Cabrera. And the NFL's preseason opener was this morning at 4 in Japan. Atlanta won the American Bowl over Indianapolis 27-21. Peyton Manning went 6-for-8 with a touchdown and an interception, while Michael Vick was 4-7 with an INT. That's the Ticket Ticker. The next one rolls around at 10:30. Breaking sports news first and guaranteed. I'm Brendan Helms, reminding you to remember the time you spend listening to The Rant. Saturday mornings, 10 to noon on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Ah, yes. The Rant the way the Rant should be.
Wasn't this last week we did the same thing?
Last week was Ben and Skin, I guess. Maybe 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago?
No, whatever.
214-787-1310 is our telephone number. This is The Rant with Gen X Davey and Gordon Keith.
Vanilla Shake MPEG won't open on this computer. Will you maybe open it on that one? Tell me what it is.
Don't bring that up. That was just my little thank you guys for a good job.
Yeah, it's
some other disgusting.
It's an email that Gordon distributed to Greg O.
Yeah, he requested to get on the list.
Myself, Corby, yeah. And Big Dumb Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And the subject line is, just wanted to say good job at training camp, even though I wasn't even there and had nothing to do with it.
You feel like you're a part of us, Dave.
Okay. And the attachment says Vanilla Shake MPEG.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, it wouldn't open on this computer. I'm just really curious as to what it is.
10:14 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Boy, do we have so much to talk about. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
What do you have prepared, David? You're still the producer, right? I guess you're not the producer anymore. There's no one sitting in the producer chair. It's the most disorganized show ever.
Yeah, Jason kind of named himself producer and slid over from the board op chair, and now...
And now he's not here.
Now I guess he's just skipping out.
Where is he? Do we know?
I think he moved to Hawaii.
What's that?
I think he moved to Hawaii. He's thinking about moving, so he's getting ready.
He quit?
Something along those lines. Either quit or he's, you know, just stepping down for better things. It's Hawaii.
He's going to move, hey, Dill, pest control to the island.
So, I mean, as host of the show, I give no, there was no notice or anything?
The last words I heard him say were kind of mumbled, but I saw him giving the finger as he's walking out the door saying your name.
No. Jeez.
Well, you can chase off a board op, can't you?
We have an opening for a producer now here on The Rant.
Do we really?
By the way, The Rant may enter the world of podcasting soon if I can ever get someone to figure it out for
us. Well, I noticed that there's a whole podcasting thing on the ticket.
Yeah, the ticket, let me see if I can navigate.
But can you not set up 10 to noon on Saturday? I haven't experimented with it yet.
No, I don't know how it works. I really don't. I don't know. Even if I started talking about it, I would sound dumb, and I don't know what it's all about. But the ticket does podcast now. If you go to theticket.com and click on Ticket Podcast, and right now I think we're only podcasting the Ticket Top 10 each night.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
That sucks.
What do you mean?
I thought you could, podcast the whole show.
No.
That's weak.
Why is that weak?
It's just kind of weak.
That's Dude, we got to have some incentive for people to tune in. If you were just able to TiVo all of the ticket,
but people would still listen.
Yeah, but that's not the way the ratings things work, and you know it, and it just gets confusing.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I agree. I personally think that this show in particular will go to a podcast exclusive.
Probably. Well, I just know that, you know, gosh, it was, 3 years ago now that we were on Yahoo?
Yeah.
And
I miss those days.
You know, you had the archives, so you would be able to go back and listen to, the last 6 rants whenever you wanted to. And I remember when that went away, when we changed streaming providers, that so many people were totally bummed about that because they never listened to The Rant on Saturday mornings. They just listened to it whenever they wanted to.
Well, I should probably, I really should do something with that GordonKeith.com and start putting lots of audio up there and all that stuff. I just need to turn it over to someone else. I mean, I sit there and I'm the only one that works on that thing now.
I work on it.
When?
In theory.
You haven't worked on it in 2 years.
In theory, though.
I guess in theory, somehow a good point made by you. So, yeah, and all I do is just people get annoyed. I don't update it enough or whatever. Or, hey, these links suck. And, okay, well, I regret spending an hour doing that last night. You know, so I have all that. So I probably need someone who can dedicate more time to it and put the audio up there and podcast The Rant and, I don't know, podcast News in the News or one of those segments or something like that.
Because,
I love all this new technology.
And I guess we should probably say for people who are kind of techno idiots what podcasting is.
Yeah, podcasting is where you can basically download a show into your iPod or MP3 player and listen to it, of course, whenever you want to.
It's genius.
It is. It's really genius. But you know what? I should also probably start selling advertising on GordonKeith.com.
God, you're opening a whole can of worms there.
Well, I know, but what else should I do, Dave?
I don't know.
I mean, I look over, Norm makes $60,000 a year off his website. I pay out the wazoo to have mine up there.
I don't know. I'm not a very smart man. I don't know how to make money.
Do Bob and Dan have advertising on theirs?
I don't know.
Let's see here. BobandDan.net.
You know, the whole podcasting thing is so confusing because...
I really know.
Because basically, anyone with a computer and a microphone can podcast something.
Mm-hmm.
They can podcast themselves, you know, going number two if they want.
Mm, that's odd choice.
But maybe somebody would want to listen to that. There might be a market for that. But I guess there are different websites that people can post their stuff on.
you know, the tickets top 10 or whatever is strictly on iTunes, right?
No. It's iTunes is just the best.
But that's the only place you can subscribe to it. Is that not true?
I don't think so. It just says that we recommend iTunes and we recommend...
Well, I think we recommend it for playback, but I think that's the place that you can get it.
Oh, is it? Well, maybe you're right. I don't know.
I'm confused.
I am, too. 214-787-1310 is our telephone number as we take calls on this. And also, you know, what about the idea of having a subscription level to GordonKeith.com where you can see things like Vanilla Shake?
I want to see it. I want to know what I'm missing.
So would somebody pay? How much would somebody pay to see all the stuff that we reference, but we can't post?
Yeah, but can you legally charge for that because it's not your content? If it's some random MPEG that, you know, belongs to somebody else.
But yet, at the same time, all these other sites, you know, like GordonKeith.com is one of the biggest referrers to, what are all those sites? E-bomb and, you know, there's Big Boys and there's all those other sites.
And they have a subscription level?
I think so. But all of those sites repost video. I mean, like, you can find the same video on three or four or five of those different sites.
I guess. I don't know the, like, the laws of internet.
Porn?
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the ticket.
Gordon, this is Panic Matt. How's it going?
Hey, Panic Matt. Where you don't work for us anymore?
No, I want your producer job. I'm failing miserably.
Oh, no. Panic Matt used to work at the ticket. He was an engineer, and he failed here. And then you left to go to something that was going to be a lot better, right?
Yeah, I had a kid.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember baby all up in her and stuff?
Oh, my gosh. And so where did you go?
I went to work for a company, you know, the regular 9-to-5 job.
Uh-huh.
But I'm failing. I need the producer job.
Well, this is not like a job that's going to pay your rent, dude. It's producing for 2 hours a week.
Will it feed my child?
No.
No. Your dirty child?
He's not dirty. He's clean today.
He's clean today?
You might be able to steal a bag of chips or something from Ticket Sports Saturday.
See, and here's the weird thing about Matt. There's no way, because your wife, for some reason, got all worked up in her mind that I was what was wrong with the world.
Oh, Gordo, and my wife's on the other line. I guess she's listening.
No. You're in trouble.
Oh, have her talk to us.
She won't. She won't come on the air with you.
Conference us in with her.
Well, that's the thing. I want to know why she doesn't like me. I mean, what is this well-thought-out reason position? When I talked to her, I never could really get it out of her.
I know. She just doesn't like you. I'm sorry.
Well, why would she want you working with me then?
I haven't told her.
Oh, I thought you said she was on the other line.
I think that's why she's on the other line.
Oh. I can't do that to your family. I think it would split up your family. See, I think there's sexual tension between me and your wife.
No.
Yeah, pretty much, now that I think about it, yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, see, it made sense to Dave. I got a second opinion on it.
Well, can I have sexual tension between me and your wife?
Yeah, if you want. She's on the market now, so.
All right. Well, have a good one, and I hope I make it in life.
Oh, my gosh. So, are you going to have another baby anytime soon?
I don't know. If I don't get a gunshot, I guess I will.
Oh, jeez. That was Matt. I was going to give him the job. What does this say? 60 years ago today, 100,000 scat films were interrupted? Hiroshima anniversary?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we could have worded a little bit better than that.
That's how the paper has it.
Oh, it is.
I believe,
okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, we
the USA Today?
Observant of that anniversary.
I'm not from Mexico. I'm from Cuba.
Oh, really? Is that right? What town is that in Mexico?
It's a country.
country. I love country. George Strait, Randy Travis, George Jones, all that, you know.
No, that's not that.
Should have been a cowboy. Oh, did that hurt
Yeah, a little bit, but I'm not talking about country music so much.
You just relax,
never mind.
Rocky. You just sweet relax. You just go. Just close your pretty little brown eyes.
Yeah, it's so tiring.
Just go to sleep.
It's so tiring being a Latin ball player. Rocky?
Rocky, you asleep? Good, Rocky's asleep. I'm now going to use my little girl Grego's super strong steroid cream and get this Mexican to 3,000 hits as fast as possible. Take that, you Mexican. I'll spackle this cream all over your brown ass. Oh, God, that feels so alive.
Well, what do we have here? What kind of presentation have I stumbled upon?
Oh, my God, Rhines, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cheat on you.
Grego, it looks like you're engaged in a little flagrante delicto.
Oh, I just got my new cream all over Rafi. I didn't mean to do anything to upset you, Rhines. How can I make it up to you?
How can you make it up to me? I'll tell you what, Grego. Lay down in that bed right next to him and get ready.
All right. Oh, no, Ryan. Oh,
hand me that tube of some such.
Oh.
There.
You hurt me, Ryan.
Yes.
You hurt me.
Oh, happy day.
Drunk Page Radio.
Keep moving.
67,000. That's a big number. And that's the total number of LASIK and intraLASIK procedures Dr. William Booth has performed worldwide. No other LASIK surgeon has more experience than Dr. Booth. Now, here's a smaller number. 2. That's how many eyes you have. And since you only have 2 of them, why would you want to trust them to a doctor with less experience? The Booth Eye Care and Laser Center features the latest, most advanced FDA-approved vision correction technologies available, including CrystalLens and Restore. Plus, affordable payment options. You'll like those numbers, too. Call the Booth Eye Care and Laser Center for a free, no-obligation consultation and see what you've been missing. Here's another number. The phone number, 214-328-0444. That's 214-328-0444.
Hi, I'm Dr. Booth. When it comes right down to it, at the Booth Eye Care and Laser Center, a number is one thing you're not.
There are a lot of people out there that want to help you manage your money. Everybody wants you to buy their advice or just write them a check and let them invest your money for you. But is that really the best thing for you? Maybe you're better off managing your own money. With just a little help, you could trade your own money and cut out the middleman. If you think you need that help, let us tell you about the Online Trading Academy. They're not brokers looking to grab your money. They're not salesmen peddling books, software, tapes, or some magical system to manage your money. All they are is an independent training school. All they want to do is teach you the skills to trade your own money and eliminate the middleman. If you're interested, click on the OTA logo right now. Call 888-OTA-ATTEND or log on to tradingacademy.com/attend. That's how you can find out about the Online Trading Academy and their Power Trading Workshop. That's where they'll teach you the skills to trade your own money, and most importantly, the skill of not losing money. They're not middlemen. They don't want your 401k balance, and they're not beholden to any financial institution, bank, fund, company, or theory. The online trading company is just there to help you control your money. If you're interested, click on the OTA logo right now. Call 888-OTA-ATTEND or log on to tradingacademy.com/attend.
Welcome to another edition of Donovan Miller's Reader's Theater. Our playlist today is entitled The Gambler, starring Craig Miller as Kenny Rogers.
Boo.
George Dunham as A.J. Foyt.
Boo.
Gordon Keith as Tom Hicks.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah. Good.
Big Strong Jeremy as the ghost of Walter Payton.
Boo.
And introducing Rich Phillips as the whore.
Oh, God.
Our story opens in the office of Tom Hicks.
What am I going to do about the gambler? I'm so rich yet I can't seem to control his actions or my bladder. Money can't buy everything, although it did allow me to buy part of Nicaragua and several packs of gum this morning.
The Ticket, Drop Page Radio.
Drop Page Radio.
pay for brake pads or shoes again for as long as you own your car. So if you want a brake service you can count on, come to Midas, America's leader in brakes. They've been servicing Texas for almost 30 years, and unlike some of those brake shops, the Midas lifetime guarantee is good for as long as you own your car. Best of all, brake pads or shoes are just $39.99 per axle plus installation. Who can beat that? So swing on by your DFW Midas for a 45-point brake inspection and for the best price guaranteed. Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Ceramic pads, additional parts, and labor extra. Participation may vary. Most vehicles. See manager for limited guarantee terms.
When we say sports, you say now.
The Cowboys training camp schedule calls for a two-hour practice today. The sticker brought to you by Star Power and the Lawrence Marshall Denison dealership. Supposedly the practice would be from 4 to 6, but the tuna has the power to change things, and he will today.
I think we're going to have a little walkthrough in the morning, and then I haven't finalized it yet, but I'm going to say probably 10 plays a series, or I'm thinking 8 or 9 series.
Parcells will talk to the media today at 1:30 here on The Ticket. The Rangers have not fared well since the All-Star break, including their current slide at home. They've dropped 8 of their last 9 at Ameriquest Field. Part of the reason for the slump is the Rangers' pitching is in shambles from suspensions, trades, and injuries, but that opens the window for the young starters.
I like the fact that we've got some young players learning their way. Developing young pitching is not a one-year proposition. It is the wrong part of our business and our sport to think you're going to get a quick fix.
That was manager Buck Showalter on with Norm yesterday. Before this afternoon's game at 3, the Rangers will retire the number of Johnny Oates. The first college coaches football poll is out, and the University of Texas is second, and Oklahoma is number 5. Texas was the only team other than first place USC to receive any first place votes. That's the Ticket Ticker brought to you by GM, announcing the GM Total Value Promise. GM has lowered the prices, added features, or redesigned over 52,006 models, so you get more without paying more on the cars and trucks you really want. It's not a promotion, it's a promise. Our next Ticket Ticker around the corner at 10:50, breaking sports news first, guaranteed. I'm Brandon Helms, asking you to remember the time you spend listening to The Ranch Saturday mornings, 10 to noon on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
When breaking sports news breaks, we'll break in. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to the Gordon, well, not the Gordon Keith Show, The Ranch.
No, it's the Gordon Keith Show.
And Dave Lane. Dave's sitting here trying to explain MySpace.com to me.
I don't know that you can really
explain. Because you're all
it's
into this.
It's
you,
a time waste.
You love the MySpace, and I'm a member of MySpace because I joined to see somebody else's thing on there. So I'm a member, but I don't know what that means that I'm a member. What do I do now?
It's a time waste. It's like it's kind of Friendster 2.0.
What's Friendster?
It's, you know, the old networking site that was big like 4 years ago or something. You know, you sign up and your friends
that one.
You sign up and your friends sign up, and then you can see who your friends' friends are, and you can search by interest.
Okay, so it's basically like a. So it just organizes it in like an ancestral tree.
Yeah.
You can see, okay, this person's friends with this, and oh, wow, we know this person.
Right.
So it's just a way of organizing friends' friendships.
It's a way to kill time at work is what it is.
You go online at work and do this?
No, I mean, I'm saying hypothetically.
Oh. All right, so what do I need to do, Dave? I'm signed up here. I'm looking at my profile. I have one friend. His name is Tom.
Yeah, he's the owner. He just made $1 million.
How's he my friend? I don't even know him.
He's everybody's friend. When, you know, he doesn't want you to feel lonely when you first sign up.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel very lonely because I have one friend.
But, you know, MySpace is actually really good for music. Like Sorta, Danny's band Sorta has a page.
Yeah.
And it's really good for bands because they can, you know, post songs on there and promote themselves, promote their upcoming gigs.
Well, how is that different than their website?
Because if you're just a small band, you know, and you have songs on your website, well, people
because it's free, I guess you're saying?
Well, yeah, because it's free. Because if you just have a website and you're a band, then you need people to find your website. But if you're on MySpace, people can just be browsing around, you know, and see that, you know, Sorta is friends with I don't know, Wilco. Say Wilco has a page, and people are saying, oh, you know, this band supposedly is,
okay,
you know, sounds like Wilco. I'll check them out.
I'm starting to understand, David. All right, it says that I need to start a blog here.
You can.
That's what my whole website is.
Well, you don't need to be on MySpace. It's not a requirement.
Well, I want to feel hip. I want to be your friend. Oh, how did I sign up to be your friend?
But I forget.
What's your name on there?
I'm not saying my name on there.
Why not? We want to be your friend.
I don't want any friends.
But then why are you on it all the time if you don't want any friends?
I want my friends that are already my friends.
So you have a secret name?
No. There's nothing secret about it.
So I can search and find your name?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I intend to do. Let's see here. David Lane. Did you go by that name?
I don't remember.
Or your birth name?
Patches.
DavidLane@Amazon.com.
What?
I don't see this. Find Dave Lane, only $9.95. None of this is you.
No, it's not.
Well, why aren't you on MySpace?
I didn't say that I wasn't.
Tell me your name. I want to be your friend.
No.
Oh, here you go. Friend Finder. That's what I want. David Lane.
I'm taking my profile down right now.
Why? There it is, David. You're a 19-year-old male from Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see how many friends I get.
It's a good time waste, though. Anybody that's tied to a desk like that.
I still don't understand exactly what it does, but hopefully it'll make my life a whole lot better.
You can look at hot chicks. It's not really a dating site, but you can hook up if you're a single person.
Don't you love hot chicks?
Hot chicks are wonderful.
My pants are going crazy for hot chicks. Okay, so that's MySpace.com. I don't know why we're giving them a plug, but apparently it's a great thing. And Tom, my one and only friend on MySpace.
He's a millionaire now.
Just sold it for millions.
He sold it to, I think he sold it to Rupert Murdoch's company.
Really?
I can't remember. But, yeah, it's actually like, if you do any reading on it, it's like one of the top five trafficked web pages now. It's like, in the past year, it's totally skyrocketed.
Okay, but explain to me why Friendster did not continue to be the friend capital of the world, and MySpace has taken over.
Because MySpace was more strategic in selling advertising, and they also, you know, added that kind of, that music element. It became like a hipster kind of site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Friendster was just totally, you know, just people.
So you're saying that on my page, on MySpace, I can add music, pictures, all the pictures of my friends will be there that sign up to be my friends, and I can have a blog.
Right.
So it's basically your own web page.
Yeah. It's
that has
your space.
Yeah, that has generated hyperlinks to these friends that sign up to say that they want to be my friends.
Right, and it's targeted towards kind of the early adopter, because, you know, like, a lot of big bands, like Nine Inch Nails and Foo Fighters, you know, big bands in, like, the alternative genre, or whatever you want to call it, they've tapped into MySpace, and they'll, like, stream their album, like, a week or two before it's released. So you can go on MySpace, and on the front page it'll say, you know, listen to Nine Inch Nails with Teeth before it's available in stores, and you click on it, and you can listen to it, and, you know, decide if you want it, you know.
All right, I got tired of that on it.
Well, it's a promotional vehicle for music.
Thank you, David.
Whatever.
All right, it's time for Ask Gordo. Hi, you're on the ticket.
Hey, I was sexually assaulted by one of my teachers. I wish I would have filed charges on him.
On him? Well, you should have. The teacher from New York, 42-year-old teacher from New York, she was hot. This local Dawn Riser that just got 8 years.
Yeah, that
she should have been prosecuted to the fullest.
That was the local woman. Her accuser said that she was slutty, right?
Yeah, testifying that his teacher was slutty.
Well, how did that manifest itself in the classroom?
I think she just pranced around and acted all goofy and slutty and stupid.
And how old was she?
30. I put up on. Speaking of GordonKeith.com, we have a ticket.com. Click on Gordon Keith.
What?
There is a Forbidden Love archive, and it goes through all of the teachers that did dirty stuff.
How many have there been? I mean, surely it's
women
not...
Women with boys, let's see.
Surely it's not every case ever, but just every case that
well,
was
I mean,
a big
look
news
at this.
Story.
Look at this, David. Okay, we're starting here, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm scrolling down and scrolling down and scrolling down and scrolling down. Look at all that.
Wow.
I mean, what? How many is that?
So it's 50? Like 5 pages?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 50.
That's pretty amazing.
And they all range from, you know, the 20s to the 50s.
Yeah, here's a New York girl, this Sandra Beth Geisel, okay, 42, with a 16-year-old student. She has 4 kids. Well, I thought they were going to show a clean picture of her. Well, that's kind of a bad picture of her. But anyway, she's hot in her mugshot, at least.
Yeah, she doesn't look bad for 42. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, look at all these. There's a 12-year-old... And from an 18-year-old teacher. Oh, that's a neighbor. Oh, okay. That's just, I guess it's not just teachers.
It says rape/grotomy of 2 boys, 12.
What's up with that? Talk to me, America. Hi, you're on the ticket.
Yeah, I found Dave's profile name. It's Waste of Molecules.
Is that right, David? We're having fun now.
Woo!
Hi, you're on AM radio.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Hiroshima bombing thing, the 60th anniversary.
Yes.
Because I was just over there back in June.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing, like the thing that really struck me about it, is the fact that the museum they have there
uh-huh.
is really kind of, didn't really tell the whole story about why America bombed Hiroshima. They kind of class that as, like, shoot from the hip bad guys. Because they, really don't talk about the ferocity of the fighting in the Pacific and stuff.
So, okay, what is the argument for Hiroshima? It was that this was a military city that
well,
bombed?
Yeah, what they did was in Hiroshima, they said at the museum that it was one of the cities that was kind of, they built up the war materials and they were kind of like part of the war machine and that they would go through and they would, you know, produce a lot of the weapons and a lot
okay.
of the stuff to support the war.
So there was a reason to bomb it other than
yeah.
just, hey, look, a lot of their women and kids are here. This will really hurt them.
Why, politically, could we get away with, you know, nuking Baghdad? I mean, and killing millions of
no.
women and children?
No. I don't think
I mean, it's
can.
Amazing that we even did that.
I know. It still is very shocking. And, you know, it was strange, and thanks for your call, it was strange. Because I remember Truman saying that he never had any regret about it. It seems like I remember reading him something about him saying this, that he didn't have any regret and never really thought twice about it.
God,
how do you not? I don't know either. I don't get it.
I mean, you are making the ultimate call about whether, you know, a million people live or die.
Right.
That have really nothing directly to do with the conflict. Other than the fact that
I know,
they're
I mean,
the nationality of your enemy.
I mean, here's the deal. I don't know. I think it's certainly a tough moral gray area, okay? And that's what you pay leaders to do is to make those kind of decisions. They lead. But to have a leader that says, oh, I have no conscience about it, which means that he doesn't even debate moral implications, that's kind of leader that scares the heck out of me. It says, yeah, well, I don't consider morality or anything like that. It's a way to get my, you know, it's just the means to get to the end that I want. That's creepy.
How far apart were Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
2 days, 3 days, something like that. Or was it next day? Oh, it was 3 days. Yeah. Hi, you're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Hey, I have a comment on this Hiroshima thing, if you can get me on.
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on. You're on comment.
You're,
so I'm on the radio.
Yes, you are, sir.
Pardon me. Yeah, I'm the Hiroshima fellows. I certainly appreciate your perspective. But the South Point News had an interesting article. Pardon me, the website WashingtonTimes.com talking about the decision that Truman made. They had intelligence that the Japanese would not surrender. So the decision saved millions of American lives.
Well, we know all that. We know all that stuff. I mean, the whole argument, I know the argument that's saying, well, if we hadn't done that, then they wouldn't have surrendered right away and we would have lost millions of more
right.
live soldiers. Yeah, I know that.
So how can you possibly stand there and say then why did we do it? First of all, it was $160,000 plus the residual after, I imagine. But
when did I say why did we do it?
Yeah, you know, the whole thing,
I can't stand about the selective listening business. Nobody said why did we do it. What we were talking about was, don't you at least think that there's some sort of moral decision you're making? You're making some sort of moral calculus in your head. Hey, this is the consequence of this. What is it? What's right? If I can kill 130,000, and granted they're women and children and men and stuff like that, 130,000 civilians to save 1 million soldiers' lives, is that worth it? I mean, that is the moral question that you're making.
Right.
But to sit there and say, well, it's not even a moral question. Let's just do this. You know, they're dirty Japanese and we're Americans.
Pardon me for having selective listening. You're right. I'm in traffic here.
That's all right. I understand. You shouldn't be listening when you're in traffic.
That's
when they should be listening.
Decision must be very difficult.
And that's my point, is that I think it should be difficult.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I was completely ignorant saying that they killed 1 million people. I was just pulling that number out of my rear. But, you know,
this is just calling from my memory bank. So I think it was 130,000, 160,000, somewhere in there. I don't know.
But I'm not saying, you know, I'm not asking why did we do it. I mean, obviously, you know, it hastened the end of the war.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I can't believe that we did do it.
Right.
You know, especially projecting that same situation into the present day politically correct, you know, global climate. Can you imagine, you know, can you just imagine the political nightmare for George Bush if, you know, he made the call to nuke a major city of a political enemy, North Korea or Iraq or whatever?
Right.
If we were in a, you know, a full-scale war. And
yeah, I couldn't see how you could get away with that today.
There's no way.
I mean, even all this, George Bush is still...
I guess if Hiroshima and Nagasaki had never happened, you know, if there never was the history of such a, you know, catastrophic event.
Well, George Bush right now is making a decision. Hey, you know what? It's horrible to lose American soldiers' lives, but I'm willing to lose more of those lives rather than just, you know, bomb the entirety of Iraq. And, yeah, we're going to just wipe out all the insurgents. We kind of think they're in this city. Well, we're going to bomb the whole city. We'll get rid of all those insurgents. He could do that. He's making some sort of decision politically and morally not to do it. But I think people get blinders on whenever you question America. That's a real big thing, obviously, now, these days. You know, if you question America, you obviously hate America. I mean, that is how... Think about what a complex creature a human being is, and all this complex thinking we're able to develop, and all the things we've been able to invent. But when it gets down to, you know, this sort of thing, we have to get very simple, knee-jerky, we think like animals, you know? You can't think complexly that when you question something, doesn't mean that you're necessarily against it.
Right.
You're trying to say, well, this deserves some thought.
Are you loyal to the pack or are you not?
Right. That's all people want to know. And I hate that because I want conservatives to have a better image than that. But the problem is that a lot of thinking conservatives get a bad rap by people who are so blinded by patriotism that they start coloring things that are inappropriate to color with patriotism.
I don't believe they're called coloreds.
I'm sorry. I withdraw that. Hi, you're on Sports Radio 13th in the Ticket.
Yeah, this is Mike from Abilene.
Hey, Mike from Abilene.
And I'm a history major, and I've always been interested in the topic y'all are talking about.
Good. Well, y'all. Inform us. Educate us.
And I was hoping just to weigh in for a second. You know, we used conventional bombs and killed 250,000 people in Dresden, Germany,
mm-hmm.
and killed 300,000 in Tokyo. So I've always been curious as to why we talk. I guess it's just the spectacular atomic explosion.
Yeah, I think you know the answer to your question.
Yeah, I mean it's a, you know, 1,000 bombs versus one bomb. You know, you're doing it all at once.
But I mean, the loss of life is still the issue, the main issue, and we killed more in those two because we practiced total warfare for many, many decades before World War II. The other countries do the same thing. Japan killed millions of Chinese people, like in Nanking, where they just totally wiped out the whole city. But we don't ever hear about that. We always hear about Hiroshima, but we don't hear about...
Because I think that was the advent of push-button, you know,
Right.
Push-button destruction.
Right.
And I think that's a big difference in conventional warfare. It's like you haven't even brought up the Civil War, which is the most costly war we've ever had, obviously.
Sure.
And, but, you know, it's not comparable. It's apples and oranges.
It's the decision
that, you know, it's that we are moving into just civilian areas, push-button bombing in civilian areas rather than push-bombing.
I get so mad when I see a Dallas Morning News report on that, but they don't do any, well, they do a little bit with Pearl Harbor, but all these other atrocities that were committed prior to that, it's kind of like a fight. If someone came up and punched you in the nose, then you punched them and knocked them out. You getting in trouble for knocking them out when they punched you first. I mean, kind of the hockey thing. They punched us in the nose first.
Right.
We finished them off. People talk about us.
Let's say that they punched us in the nose, and then we turn a bazooka and blow their 3-year-old away.
Well, they killed 3,000 people at Pearl Harbor, so it wasn't just like a little, you know, that was totally unprovoked. When they attacked Pearl Harbor, that was 3,000 people dying. That wasn't anything small.
Well, this is the thing, and that's what I'm talking about. Let's not get blinded by saying, oh, well, you're saying that Hiroshima is a moral issue. Well, you obviously think that they were justified in Pearl Harbor. No, who said that? What?
Well, it seems like you're talking more about moral ambiguity than you are technology. And you just said that we're talking
about... Well, I do think that there's some moral ambiguity there. And the reason why Hiroshima is such a flashpoint for the moral discussion about warfare is because it's something that is so overwhelming and says it's something that the average man can understand.
Yeah.
It's like Anne Frank. You know, I want to hear you start bagging on Anne Frank. Well, she's just one girl. There are tons of other ones. Why aren't you talking about all the other ones? Well, because that was one that had some words wrapped around it. And
right.
An average person could say, you know what, it's hard for me to comprehend 6 million. But when you put it in human terms, if there was this one girl, right, and she had this parent's name, she had this parent, and she had this brother, and they lived in this, you know, then all of a sudden it becomes something that we can relate to.
You know all the people at Hiroshima at that memorial that you saw in the paper today? I wonder if they weep for the victims of the American soldiers that died in fighting their totalitarian government. And the question, the answer to that would be they wouldn't know because they had no voice in their government. I think if you ever have a dictatorship, you're asking for hell to be rained on you.
Okay, so you're saying they should have gotten rid of their dictatorship, their emperor.
Their system was incredibly flawed because one man was held up as a god, and then the military regime ran that country.
So let's talk about the Japanese...
Didn't have a democracy.
Let's talk about the
argument for democracy.
Let's talk about the Japanese Anne Frank, the 9-year-old girl who's running down the street in Hiroshima when the bombs dropped. Okay, what was she supposed to do 5 minutes before then to get rid of the dictatorship and the emperor?
You know what? It was absolutely no fault of hers, but her parents and her grandparents and their parents tolerated that system and that dictatorship that led to all hell breaking loose. So is she at fault? No.
Okay, let's talk about her parents. What were they supposed to do 5 minutes beforehand? Or 10 minutes beforehand? Or 1 year beforehand?
You know, it's like I said, if you don't have a democracy, if you have no voice in your government, you ask for something like that to happen, because if you let military guys run the show, and as much as some liberals would like to think, our military does not run our country. They're a big part of our country, but they do not run the country. And when you do have one where the military regime runs the show, it's only a matter of time before people do suffer, including your own.
Right. But what happens if you have something like we have now, where we have elected officials that make a decision that maybe, let's say, 49% of the people don't agree with? You just say the 49%, well, you're out of luck. You're part of this whole system that made this decision.
You know, I guess no system is perfect, but I would take one where people have a voice, which we do.
Absolutely.
Over an empire where they don't have a voice. And I guess you make some really good points. I guess what I'm just trying to say
But what you've done is said that her grandparents, the little kid in Hiroshima, her grandparents and parents were responsible for a system in which they had no voice.
Right.
Don't you think that they have less responsibility than the voter in America that does have a voice?
Collateral damage and people dying like Anne Frank and like this other, you know, the 9-year-old that you're mentioning running down the streets, it's tragic. Yeah. I don't think you're going to get any argument there. What I'm saying is...
Yeah, but the problem is that when someone says it's tragic, there's a certain conservative mindset out there that says, what about all the other people? And they don't just say, oh, well, you said it was tragic. You know, I agree with you on that. They're automatically trying to redirect it into saying, you know, well, isn't this tragic? Yeah, well, that's tragic too, but I wasn't talking about that just at that moment.
But how would you like to be Truman and explain to 500,000 families why they don't have a father, why they don't have a son? You know what? It's because there's too much moral ambiguity, and raining bombs on a city or a bomb doesn't matter. People are still dying. I didn't want to do that because it might be unpopular with half the populace, which it wasn't at that time, by the way. It wasn't half the populace. It was overwhelming to end the thing quickly. How would you like to explain to those 500,000 families why they don't have a father or a son? Because, you know what, this might be unpopular in the future. I'm going to go ahead and send those guys in and just have them brutally massacred as they're trying. I mean, that whole island was prepared to fight to the last. They had suicide boats. They had all kinds of things.
Right.
They were planning for our invaders. Now, we should do that. But
so, wait, your question is, how would I like to be Truman to explain to 500,000 families? Oh, I wouldn't like that.
And I don't think that we're holding Truman over the fire and saying that he made the wrong decision.
Yeah, I'm not even saying he's wrong.
We're just saying it's amazing that he was able to make that decision, and then we were comparing the climate of the time to the climate today.
Yeah, I don't think it was an easy decision for him. I heard you mention that a while ago. I think you mentioned one quote that he made about that he didn't have a problem with it after a lot of deliberation, but I've read a book on him that says that it wasn't a snap decision. There was a lot of thought, a lot of intelligence that went into it.
But why would there be a lot of thought that goes into it if it's so clear-cut like you're saying? Oh, it's 500 of our guys, which is,
you know,
well, obviously it's going to be that. I mean, we know the future. It will be that.
You know, it sounds really bad for me to say this. It's going to come across as bad, but you mentioned the 9-year-old in Hiroshima. The fact that she died is horrible, but I'm more worried about the 9-year-olds in America that don't have fathers, that don't have brothers and sons, etc., than I am about her. And I know that sounds bad, but I am more worried about the American kids without the fathers at Pearl Harbor, at Okinawa, at Iwo Jima, etc., than I am about her.
What if
her country started the war, we finished it.
What if she would have been the world's greatest MPEG star?
Yeah. What if she was going to cure cancer for all the Americans, but not even the Japanese?
Actually, in their society that time, women weren't doing a whole lot on the scientific
front.
Right,
they were just bombing on each other.
And you bring up another great moral topic, which is the concept of nationalism versus, you know, a concept of what is it to be part of humankind? And do you protect someone who's paid to fight, let's say, for your country? Or would you rather him die in the service of war? Or would you rather a 9-year-old die who is innocent, but she happened to be born in the wrong country? Where should your loyalties lie as a human being?
You know, you can't play softball rules when you're playing baseball, and the rules of warfare in the 20th century were total warfare. It wasn't soldiers engaging each other in a field like the British and Americans in the Revolution. It was you take it to the streets,
mm-hmm.
you take it wherever you have to. People act like it was invented in August of 1945, it was not.
Right.
And once again, we kill 250,000 in Dresden, Germany, and 300,000 in Tokyo. But all we hear about is, I mean, when's the last time you went to a memorial for Dresden or Hiroshima? I mean, for Tokyo. I don't get it.
Well, you know what? In
the difference between dying from fusion, if you die from fusion or a firebomb, what's the difference? You're still dead.
Okay, let me give you this example and get your opinion on it. All right, in hunting, there are what are called fair chase rules. And then there's an idea of a sporting chance, right, for the animal.
Okay.
Now, basically what ends up happening, the animal dies anyway. So according to your argument, should you make the rule that why even bother with fair chase rules if the animal dies anyway? If the end result is the same, don't give him a chance to escape. You know, don't give him a sporting chance. There's no such thing as sporting thing.
Yeah.
Why do we have Geneva Convention? Why do we have rules for warfare whatsoever? We're concerned about the end product, right? And the ends justify the means, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, I guess you're talking about, like, deer. Are you talking about deer as far as hunting?
It can be any animal. There's rules of fair chase.
Well, if a deer is out in the field and doesn't attack me, I would have nothing to do with them. Now, if a grizzly bear comes into my camp and tries to kill me and my family, that would be a different story.
No,
Japan and their
getting confused by the analogy
innocent.
Then. I think you're getting confused by the analogy.
Japan and their culture was not innocent. They what they did to China was far worse than
were the people of Hiroshima innocent?
the people
you
on the road,
say no,
were,
they're guilty.
Were they deer or grizzly bears?
Right.
Are you talking about the father that was working at the armament factory building zeros to bomb Pearl Harbor? Or are you talking about the guy that just had a candle store down the street? I mean, who's to say?
You know what? I'm kind of talking about all of them because for what you said, the emperor is the one who's making these decisions, not the people.
You know, the emperor was just a figurehead, as you know. It was their military regime. Like,
okay, but you know what? By the same token, that you know, this is the exact kind of logic that we had those frickin' 9/11 hijackers using, was that, hey, you know, I don't care if you're in the World Trade Center. You're part of your president's decisions.
So now you're comparing Hiroshima with the World Trade Center.
You know, and that's the old thing. How could you possibly compare? This is just...
No, I mean, I'm asking if you're not, you're not.
Yeah, you obviously just heard me say that the hijackers had the same mentality, okay?
As the bombers of Hiroshima?
As what you said, which is, hey, that guy who's in Hiroshima, he's responsible because he didn't get rid of that emperor in time.
Yeah, you know, I guess I put more of the blame at the feet of the Japanese people than I do of the American bombardiers or Truman or anybody else in our military. I mean, I guess that's
okay,
what we're
but when the hijackers were saying, how would you argue against those hijackers? And they say, hey, look, you people in the World Trade Center as being the financial capital of New York City, of the world, in their opinion, you people are responsible for what your leaders do and for what your country does.
For not agreeing with their jihad beliefs? You're asking me if I could argue against these guys' points. I could for about 2 or 3 hours.
Are the people of a nation responsible for what their leaders decide?
Yes. If you have a democracy, you are.
Okay, but there wasn't a democracy in Japan, and you're holding them responsible.
Right, because they didn't have a democracy, and whose fault is that?
In other words, they're responsible for not having a democracy. Therefore,
it's 10:25.
If they don't have
13:10 the ticket.
If they don't have
a
system,
you're more responsible.
Whose fault is that?
You're more responsible in an empire as a citizen than you are in a democracy. That is a very confusing argument.
If your culture doesn't have a representative government,
then it's your fault
for that.
Then it's your fault.
Is it the Americans' fault that they had a dictatorship or the Nazis or the Italians at that time with Mussolini? Whose fault is that?
All right. Thanks for the call.
Tired head.
I know you do, David, and I know a lot of people do who tune in for just fun. But I don't understand that argument that he's saying. He just told me that you are responsible for your government if you live in a democratic society. And then he told me you're double responsible if you live in a dictatorship.
Yeah, because you should root them out and create a democratic society so you'd be half as responsible.
Huh.
That makes sense to me. I don't know why we're bogging on that point.
And did you understand my point about the hijackers think the same way?
Every
citizen in America is responsible for whatever our leaders do.
But
I find it hard to believe that if they disagree with something that our leader does, that it's okay to go and blow away a 10-year-old near the World Trade Center. I just don't understand how that's defensible by saying, well, the parts certainly are responsible for the sum in all cases.
It's not defensible, but you have just opened up Pandora's box and you're going to have a million hate emails about how can you compare 9/11 to Hiroshima.
You know what? It probably is a losing battle. We like simplistic thinking because we want the world to make sense. We want it to make sense right now. That's why shows like Dr. Laura are real popular, because it's just...
Hey, boss, it's me, Kenny the Gambler Rogers. I'm here to talk about my future. I want big money and a long-term deal, and if you don't give it to me, I'll stare you down.
But, Kenny, we can't pay a 40-year-old big money or give you a long-term deal. I'm saving a little money so we can re-sign Chan Ho when his deal is up, so I don't have much left for you.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to put on my poker face, go outside, think about things, and get back to you.
I'm sorry, were you saying something, Kenny? I was distracted by my velvet paint supporter kind of falling down here and my framed picture of Bing Crosby that seemed to be singing White Christmas to me, and so I...
What do I do? I love pitching in Texas because there's no pressure on me. If they don't extend me, I might have to go somewhere and pitch for a contender.
The Ticket, Drop Radio. Drop Radio.
I might have to go somewhere and pitch for a contender. What could be worse?
I'll tell you what could be worse. You could be me. Why don't I have an echo?
Who are you?
Oh, good acting. I'm the ghost of Walter Payton. I'm not running the football anymore, and it's because I'm dead now.
Oh, my God.
And here's a secret. There is no football in heaven. Just basketball and cycling. Junior will love it here.
Who?
Never mind. I am also, for the purposes of this playlet, your ghost of careers past.
So confusing.
I'm here to tell you to lighten up, Gordon.
What?
Stop acting like a jackass. Quick picking fights with cameramen who are a foot shorter than you. Enjoy life, Kenny. Ooh.
I'll try, sweetness. I promise. Who are you? Who are you? The ghost of careers present?
No, I'm just legendary race car driver A.J. Foyt.
Well, what are you doing here?
I don't know exactly. We just thought it might be strange if I made an appearance in a Reader Theater episode. Thank you.
But wait, you do serve a purpose here, A.J. Foyt. You got into a scuffle with someone once on Pit Road, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. A few times, actually. You're probably talking about when I punched Ari Leyendijk at the TMS. I popped him a good one.
But that's no way for a sports legend to act.
Right. And you're not even a sports legend. So why would you want to act like that? I've got to go now. I think I have to move my bowels again.
Well, hello there, handsome stranger. You must be Kenny Rogers.
I thought you called me a stranger. Do you know me or not, you whore?
Radio. Drop page radio.
Do you know me or not, you whore?
Oh, I know you all too well. You're that hot-headed left-hander who likes to go after cameramen who are a foot shorter than you, but you don't like to pitch when the pressure is on.
You're right. So, what do you want?
I am the ghost of your future. If you don't start to behave, your life will spiral downward. You will lose your job, lose your family, and soon you will be buying up used-up whores like me every night.
And
isn't that enough? Come on, gambler. Just finish out the season, shut your trap, and take the best deal that the Rangers offer. You want to stay in Texas?
I do?
Yes. The cameramen in other towns are much bigger, and they might whoop your ass.
Thanks, whore. You've opened my eyes, and you haven't given me an STD.
Oh, that's good enough.
Mr. Hicks, I've thought things over.
I'm sorry, who are you?
The Ticket Drop Page Radio.
You're listening to America's favorite sports station, Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Part of a family of favorites, like America's favorite country music station, The Ticket's big brother with a straw hat, 99.5 The Wolf. The Wolf's done made the family proud by winning the Marconi Award for Station of the Year. It's the home of the Bobby Mitchell Wake Up with the Wolf Morning Show, Amy B., Hollywood Henderson, Cody Allen, and Airwolf Traffic with Justin Frizzell. They've got a 50,000-watt stick with the best Texas country music this side of the Red River. So when you find yourself laying on your back with tears in your ears, crying over your last failed relationship, or maybe you just want to strap on some Support the Troops red-blooded Americana, feel better longer with some feel-good music from the Wolf's Pat Green, Jack Ingram, Charlie Robinson, and Robert Earl Keane. Remember your family of favorites, 99.5 The Wolf, and everyone's favorite drunk uncle, Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
I'm sorry, who are you? Oh, Kenny, yes. Well, what do you think? Should I go with the blonde wig with the orange ball in his mouth, or should I go with the orange wig with the yellow ball in her mouth?
Oh, my God.
I can't decide here between these two.
I've decided to shape up. I won't talk contract until you want to, and I promise. No, I double promise not to get into it with any more cameramen.
Great. Can you skate? I'm going to need some skaters for my hockey team. The Dallas something or another.
Stars?
Yeah, that's it. Stars. I think Madonna. Excuse me. I think Madonna might still play for us, and I wonder if Buck can coach both. Save some money there, maybe Mac Brown. Anyway, Kenny, I'm really rich, and I'm going to spend some of my money today on renovating the room where I keep the bones of Ashley Simpson on display. You want to help me?
Nope,
I've got things to do. I've got things to do, like apologize to some people, do some charity work, and win some more games.
Oh, that's an happy day.
Oh, happy day!
This has been another edition of Radio Theater with Playlist. Was only a dramatization. Its views and opinions are not shared by Sports Radio 1310, its staff, or its management. Tune in next time for another edition of Dunham & Miller's Reader Theater.
I think I'll go with the blonde wig with the orange bowl in his mouth.
Boom! The play's over.
That's the first time in Reader's theater history that one of the playlets has been Dickens influenced.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
I guess so, with the ghost of the past. Yeah.
With A.J. Foyt and...
Sit over down.
And the ghost of Walter Payton.
The Tickets Drop Page Radio.
How sorry about that.
The Tickets Drop Page Radio.
She's still alive.
The Tickets Drop Page Radio.
You too.
Huh?
Hi, this is Dane Miner, General Manager of Freeman Toyota. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, here's a couple of things you should strongly consider. Toyota is one of the most reliable and affordable vehicles on the road today. And the Freeman family is one of the most trusted and respected names in the automobile business. When you combine the two, you have a combination that is guaranteed to work for you. With Freeman Toyota's intense focus on customer satisfaction and Toyota's great value, you can't go wrong in your automobile buying decision. For example, lease a double cab Tundra for just $269 a month for 36 months. Or our best-selling SUV, the 4Runner, for $349 a month for 36 months. And these offers are with zero out-of-pocket. Come and visit us today and see what our current customers already know. Freeman Toyota is committed to making you number one. We are located at 183 and 820 on the affordable side of the Metroplex, or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-800-NEW-CARS or log on to freemantoyota.com. Freeman Toyota, where character and reputation make the difference.
Some people say there's a lot of difference between listening to Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket and our sister station, Talk Radio 570 KLIS. But when you break it down, we're really not that different. You see, they've got Fox News, we've got E! News. They've got Dr. Laura, and we look at naked pictures of Dr. Laura. They've got Big Bill O'Reilly, and we've got Big Bill Dwayne Parcells. They have Bill and Carlo, we have Donovan Miller. They love Bush, we love Bush. Jenna and Barbara, that is. They have Greg Knapp in the afternoon. George Dunham takes naps in the afternoon. We have breaking sports news first guaranteed. They have the latest breaking news and information guaranteed. 570 KLIF is like your own Cliff Notes version of today's headlines, so you actually know a little bit more than how to calculate a batting average in your head or how to spot a cover two on third down. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, and 570 KLIF. One knows sports, the other knows news. You decide.
Have someone here who wants to talk to you. Oh, God.
This is allegedly Michelle Wee.
Guten Tag.
Oh, my God.
Well, who is this?
It is Dirk Nowitzki.
Yay. Well, Dirk, what are you doing there?
I am here leaning more to support Michelle Wee.
Are you caddying for her?
Yes. I will break you, George.
Oh, you already have.
I will break you.
Dirk, yeah. You need to be working on your low post game, not caddying.
Here's Michelle again.
Okay. Yes, Michelle.
I must go now and collect my drinks for my fire tonight on the mountain overlooking your civilization. I will eat gum beetles and drink clean water for strength.
Bye, Michelle.
Bye.
Radio.
Baltimore, Texas would have to win today's game. They'll send John Watson's 4.32 ERA and 0-1 record to the mound to face 8-9 Daniel Cabrera. Before the game, the team will put former manager Johnny Oates' number beside Nolan Ryan's and Jackie Robinson's in left field. Oates led the team to the only three division titles in club history. A lot of attention has been paid to the Cowboys' offense with the acquisition of Drew Bledsoe. Tight end Jason Witten was on the hard line yesterday, and he gives the virtues of the new revamped O.
Just getting everybody back and healthy and with Julius, and we got to be able to run the football. I think that's one of the big things we're thinking about now. With Terry Glenn out there that can stretch the field, it's really good, you know. So I think we're making strides.
The Cowboys will have the first scrimmage of training camp later today, and the Parcells Daily Press Conference will air at 1:30 on Ticket Sports Saturday. Stanley Cup winning goalie Nikolai Kabi-Bjorn signs a four-year, $27 million deal with the free-spending Chicago Blackhawks. Kabi-Bjorn won the cup with Tampa Bay 2 years ago, the last cup before the lockout. That's the Ticket Ticker. The next one comes at 11:30. Breaking sports news first, guaranteed. I'm Brendan Helms reminding you to remember the time you spend listening to The Rant Saturday mornings, 10 to noon on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
You know, I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two, because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well, and Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call jap plays, okay, surprise things. And no disrespect to anyone. But, you know, you got to watch them, because they'll sabotage each other.
They Pearl Harbor you, and they jap you.
Yes, that's two of the six Cowboy coaches.
They're holding the grudge with Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, this is the anniversary of...
They certainly supported Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah, sounds like they did. It's 11:15 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You listen to Gordon Keith and David Lane, and somehow we got off on this political rant. It's not even a political rant, which is the odd thing. My frustration with this world today is that everyone, no one can talk anymore. No one can talk to each other. No one can ask a question, because we're so eager for certainty that we've got to categorize someone immediately. You're liberal. No, you're a conservative. You're right-winger. You're a neocon. You know, all I need to do is hear like two sentences of someone, and then I want to slap the label on them, because then I know how to react. I don't have to listen to their arguments or anything like that, because I already have a set stock stereotype in my head that I know the things I need to say against them.
Right, and
because you're not a person, you're just a member of a category now.
Right, and kind of your first two sentences or comments on a subject is kind of like your secret handshake. Like if you have the same viewpoint as me, then it's like, oh, then we can commiserate and talk about the other guy.
Right. And it's just pure emotionalism. There's no thinking anymore. It's just, which side do you root for? Are you Texas or OU? I don't want to talk about, you know, whether our quarterback's good or anything like that. I just want to hate you. That's what I'm really into. I don't want to figure anything out. I just belong to a group, and we hate that group. And I'm going to listen to the first sentence out of your mouth, and if it sounds like something that other group might say, then I'm going to put you in that group and be against you. And that's my biggest frustration, is a person who finds himself on one side sometimes, the other side of the... I'm in the middle, basically. And there's nothing that liberals and conservatives can't stand alike than someone in the middle. If you're in the middle, that is the biggest threat to either side. Because...
Why can't you make up your mind?
Yeah, why can't you make up your mind? You know, my liberal friends can't stand me, and my conservative friends can't stand me.
I can't stand you.
I know. I don't know where you stand. Because they don't want to listen to what you say on the subject. They just want to know, basically, are you a liberal or conservative? Then I'll know whether I want to argue or even talk with you. And it's not even talking, it's just arguing. So we got on this this Hiroshima thing, and all this started with me going, man, that's a big decision, that Hiroshima thing. And, you know, it seems like I heard somewhere where Truman said that he never thought twice about it. How can you not think twice about such a big topic?
Actually, it started with the USA Today headline of 60 years ago today, 100,000 scat films were interrupted.
Yeah, we messed up on that. I don't think that was
Where did you read that?
So I make that question, right, about Truman, and then it immediately becomes, what, you're just a moral relativist. Nothing's black and white to you.
Well, I didn't say anything like that.
What voice is that? That's my impersonation of liberals or conservatives yelling at me because I don't fall lock, stock, and barrel into their pre-thought-out plans.
That's a good movie.
Most liberals and conservatives that I talk to never reasoned out their own position. They just kind of go emotionally, which group annoys me the most, and then I agree with this other group, and here are their set positions, so I agree with all these positions. It seems like I never meet one that sits there and goes, you know what, I am so undecided on this, I've been tackling this issue for 3 years, and I'm still working on it, still trying to learn and everything. There's none of that. Who wants to waste 3 years doing that? Sign up for a team and fight. Hi, on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Gordo, good morning.
Hey.
Happy Hiroshima. Is it Hiroshima or Hiroshima?
Depends on whether you're from the north or south.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's a parking lot either way.
Oh,
hey, why are you trying to make, when you're talking about warfare, why are you trying to apply logic on behalf of whoever's making the decision to go to war and kill people? You know, I don't see, it sounds like you're trying to rationalize, you know, it's okay to go to war and do these things, you know, if such and such happens, or, you know, because, you know, you can never have it 100% your way, you know what I mean? It sounds like you're just trying to...
So you're saying that we should not apply reason at all to any decision-making involving war?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in your opinion, has there ever been a war that was justified and the things that happened as a result or during that war, you know, 100% of it was justified, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, there's small wars where people break into someone's house and you blow them away because they're about to kill your kids. That little small war seems justified.
No, really?
If you get, no, I'm serious. And then if you get bigger, then yeah, I mean, I'm not a big enough of a history buff to tell you which one. But I think that there are certainly campaigns that
But I think his point is that in any conflict, no matter which side you're on, there are going to be war crimes. There are going to be violations of human rights.
Yeah.
And so not 100% of every action that either side takes is going to be justified no matter what the ends are.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
You know, like the other guy was trying to rationalize why it was okay to go, blow Japan away because look what, Japan did to the Chinese. Well, what kind of rationalization is that?
I know. Well, one of the common tactics of argument is redirect. When you talk about something that makes them a little uncomfortable, they want to redirect you into something. Well, you know, if you're going to talk about Hiroshima, then, you know, I demand equal time talking about the Japanese and the Chinese. Well, no, we're talking about this one other thing first. We may get to that, we may not. But don't demand them to be talked about concurrently.
By the way, Gordon, I was really touched by your happy Hiroshima card today.
Yeah, did you like that?
Yeah, it was really
heartfelt. I also got you a gift. It's under the Hiroshima tree at home. Hi, you're on the ticket.
Is Tokyo Gordo there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Why are you such a dirty Jap lover?
Oh my gosh!
Well, let me say, have you ever seen The Fighting CBs? You ever seen that movie with John Wayne? I mean, you probably hate with all your heart.
I like C's. I like C's better than B's.
It's The Fighting CBs.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happened.
Wait a second. What did you say? I probably hate what?
You probably hate John Wayne with all of your black heart.
See, look, this is what I'm talking about. You've got to categorize. You assign me a category, and then you argue from the category. Not from me as the person, but me as the category.
Hey, you know who Fred Mertz is? From I Love Pieces.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was in The Fighting CBs, but he wasn't Fred Mertz there.
Okay.
He was happy-go-lucky. He had a wife and kid. And I'll tell you what, they were building a pipeline, and he was sitting on top of it, and right when he was turning the valve, it was a great accomplishment. A dirty Jap sniper picks him off in that movie. And if that ain't worth bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki, well, nothing is.
Based on the same movie.
That's a good point. That is a hell of a point.
Hi, you're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It is so hard to follow that. Listen, do you believe that war is immoral, Gordon? I mean, do you think that is...
You know, the thing is, I can't say that categorically because,
right.
You know, war is going to be necessary in
right.
some cases.
Right. Can I just make a point about this? I enjoy your show, and I think your point's well made. I think Truman was posturing politically, saying, oh, I was decisive. I made a decision here, and
well,
I think...
He may have been, sure.
Yeah. But the other thing was, is I think with the Japanese... the reason we had to do what, this is just my belief in what went on, they were such a resolute group of individuals. Their beliefs, I mean, you know, the emperor was a deity and whatever he said went. I mean, these people were going to fight. You know, we were going to get them on their land. So they had no place to go. They were going to fight till the death. We had to do something so awful and so horrific that the whole world would stand back in horror. You know, at what we had done, and we did do that, and it did stop a war.
And some argue, you know, it's what made us eventually win the Cold War.
Well, I'm completely convinced of that. It's too bad that we can't apply that same logic to what we're doing today because it sounds so awful. But the thing is these group of individuals we're fighting today, well, I think we might be able to frighten them into some kind of reality, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm scared about the way that they're sneaking over the Mexican border and all the things they're doing. We need to do something to make the world stand up and fear us again, because we don't have that respect any longer. So
where would you drop the bomb now?
Buddy, I don't know. It's like I say, it's just an idea. It's, you know, I'm not going to go, boom, Mecca, you know. I mean, it's not like that. It's just that, you know, someone needs to step up and present a clear and present danger to us, and then we need to make a firm example. We're having terrible problems with China right now, man. They are blustering and blowing at us, and I mean, man, we are really taking a back seat. We're imperiled right now. It's really tough. It's frightening position we Americans are in right now. So
hey, thanks for your call. Hi, you're on Sports Radio 13. Send the ticket.
Hey, am I on the air or just being screened?
No, you're on triple the air.
Okay. Hey, this is Mike from Abilene. I called you a while ago,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about the war and everything, and I didn't even know who I was talking to. Is this, who is this?
My name is Gordon. And...
Are you Gordon?
Yeah, Gordon
okay.
David.
I didn't know who it was, because you're not usually on at this time, are you?
Well, yeah. I'm
a big fan of you.
Are y'all already past the Hiroshima thing, or is there a new topic?
Not only have you never listened, you're not even listening now.
I'm on a different phone. Give me a break.
All right, so what do you have to say, Mike? About... We're talking about Hiroshima. What do you have to say?
Well, you know how you said about the 9-year-old girl from Hiroshima that was killed and how that's tragic? Should we not have taken over Berlin? Because a lot of kids in Germany were killed. Should we have stayed on the outskirts of the city and not taken over because kids would get killed?
No.
Is this your history major that already took up 15 minutes of our airtime?
Yeah.
I really appreciated that. That's the most I've ever talked to anybody.
Yeah,
it's
very expensive time. No, here's the deal.
Okay.
Is that I'm saying that all those questions are allowed to be asked. That's what I'm saying.
You know
that's what I'm saying.
Right?
What's that?
You know we dropped leaflets for weeks before the bomb was dropped. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And they chose not to. Why not? Why didn't they evacuate?
That's psyops, buddy.
I'm sorry?
That's psyops.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so should we not have taken over Berlin or any of these other cities because residual, you know, innocent people would get killed? What do we do? How do we engage in war?
I don't know enough about that.
Well,
I don't know how many kids were killed in Berlin. I don't know. I mean, I certainly think that Nazi Germany was an evil. That, you know, how are you going to negotiate with that?
Right.
Or how are you going to negotiate? Yeah. How are you going to negotiate with Japan?
Yeah. I guess a lot of people practice selective history. I'm not saying you do, but some people do, and they look at the evil of dropping the bomb at Hiroshima, but they don't look at it in the whole big view. They just pinpoint August 6, 1945.
No, and I definitely think it's worth, you know, the context of it. Absolutely. But the question still becomes, okay, is it okay to attack civilian populations to make a point to the military? And there it gets complicated.
How do you destroy industrial sites when they're usually located in cities where people are killed? I mean, that happened in Europe with the RAF and American bombers all the time.
Yeah, and
how
do you
do it?
But I think that there's a... all right, well, think about what we do over in Iraq. You know, we go to all that. We bend over backwards trying to show them, look, we're really trying to target this one building. We're so sorry the building next to it was knocked down. You know, we're really trying. We're making it a big point to do that. And I, for some reason, I didn't hear that reasoning with Hiroshima.
Well, we didn't have smart bombs and a lot of the capabilities, obviously,
well,
as you know. And I think warfare was a lot different 60 years ago.
Down. He's just blasting in my ear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just your phone's really loud.
I'm sorry. I'm on a better phone this time.
We didn't even try to make that argument, I'm saying. And now, with America, you can say we're, I don't know whether you think we've evolved or devolved, but we do make these arguments that, hey, listen, we don't want women and children killed. We want the killers killed. But you're saying that's a weak argument, or
well,
you shouldn't even think that way?
You're talking about Iraq now, and it's kind of a different context from the...
We've already given him 20
yeah.
minutes.
I was just going to say,
yes,
it's kind of the butterfly effect, though, because if we hadn't bombed Hiroshima, then they may not have invented plasma screens.
I know. And then me, as an American who's never had to fight anywhere, how much enjoyment would I have if I didn't have plasma?
Exactly.
Hi, you're on AM.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
Navy man, I miss your tickers.
Oh, thanks.
And Gordon, you're the one to talk about being redirected. You're the master of redirect.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, what have I redirected on? Because if I did, I'd like that pointed out, and I'd like to correct it.
Going to the the fair rule for animal hunting?
Yeah, I was saying that we have this.
It's a very fine line between a redirect and an analogy.
And
Gordon definitely loves the analogy.
So you're saying that that's not a good analogy?
Listen to when he's arguing with George, and George is right, and he gets George in such the corner. Anyways, the reason I'm calling is very clear where we need to drop the bomb now.
Okay.
On the island of Tsunami.
I don't think that's right. Gaining support here with the Dave Lanes of the world. Uh-oh, it's gaining support throughout the control room. Uh-oh, all the basketball players in here are...
Beautiful, spacious skies forever waves of flame. Oh, purple mountains, majesty.
Boys training camp turn.
And Corby is out there at the live mic. All right, here comes Kevin Costner.
Oh, dear.
And all the...
A lot of car dealers have decided they want to treat you like an employee. So they're selling their cars at the prices employees pay. Think about it. An employee. Volvo of Dallas sees you a little differently. They'd rather treat you like a member of the family. A customer for life. So they give you great prices without all the gimmicks. The 2006 models are in now, so you can get some amazing family deals at Volvo of Dallas on 2005 models, like a Volvo S80 T6, now $14,000 off MSRP, a 2005 S60, $7,000 off MSRP, and the 2005 XC90 as low as $419 a month for 48 months with $3,500 down in TTNL. All 2005 models come with free service for 3 years or 36,000 miles. Quality. Integrity. It's a Volvo. Remember, the bad taste of poor quality lasts a lot longer than the sweetness of a low price. So be a member of the family. Volvo of Dallas. See them online at volvoofdallas.com. I-35 in Frankfort, where family matters.
The biggest ideas to come out of Dallas are the Calatrava Bridges, beautiful arcs of white that will reach impossibly high.
School of the Performing Visual Arts. You know, it's been the training ground for three multiple Grammy Award-winning
artists have made the entrance to Deep Ellum a wave of graffiti, a colorful icon that lures thousands of upscale shoppers a year to Neiman Market, the fashion center
court where Dallas has shown some real depth this year, thanks to the solid
marble that sculptor Jesus Morales carved into a
thick and juicy five-star steak at the largest five-day auto show in the nation with over 700 vehicles on display.
The grandeur, grace, and design. So that these new bridges will really show how big we think in
Dallas. A city built on big ideas that makes a big impression. On those who come to see our swagger, on those dreaming up the next big thing. Let our nightlife draw the big idea out of you. With hundreds of live music acts and more restaurants per capita than New York, there's always another way to live large and think big. Log on to visitdallas.com for details.
Think you've become pretty good at negotiating car deals if you were using someone else's money? Then chances are you could become pretty good at trading stocks online if you could use someone else's money, right? But hey, what kind of idiot would let you use his money for practice? Well, that idiot is Vince Rowe, and he's no idiot. He's president of Online Trading Academy Texas, and he's so confident that he can teach you how to trade your own money and eliminate the middleman that when you attend his online trading course, he'll let you use his trading accounts to teach you how to trade successfully. He'll show you the free tools on the internet that'll teach you to do just what your financial advisor does. If your financial advisor has ever uttered crap like dollar cost averaging, buy and hold, or we beat this industry average, then it's time to take control of your money and trade it yourself. Vince will teach you, and you'll even get to use his money to learn how to trade. Find out more at the Power Trading Workshop going on this week. Sign up now by clicking on the OTA logo on your screen, or by calling 888-OTA-ATTEND, or by logging on to tradingacademy.com/attend. 888-OTA-ATTEND, or click on the logo on your screen. 888-OTA-ATTEND, or online at tradingacademy.com/attend.
Hunting gear you need. Then Friday through the weekend.
Well, you better get going. We heard you're four down in this match you're playing today.
It would be quite an accomplishment to play in my first major before I have my first period of time on the PGA Tour.
Right.
Oh, right. Yes.
That makes right there on the PGA Tour, right?
I felt so great, so very precarious.
Your blood sugar?
Yes. I am hoping to Shiva that actually truly adopts me and gives me some of her sweet nourishment.
I think Angelina Jolie has already adopted a few Cambodians.
You have parents.
I'm so happy to be out of Cambodia.
Cambodia?
I thought you said
what are you...
China earlier.
Hold on, I have someone here who wants to talk to you.
Radio. Drop Page Radio.
The big question, the question that everybody wanted to know is, where did we come from? And boy, did they give us an answer.
And some may have opened the doors to over 3 million years of human history.
Darwin knew he was going to get into trouble.
Faith to man, as only the History Channel can bring you. This Sunday night at 8.
What else is out there? What else are we going to find?
Faith to man. The evolution of evolution begins. Sunday on the History Channel.
Breaking sports news now.
There was a big deal when the Cowboys acquired the rights for Drew Henson from Houston in 2004. The ticker brought to you by D&M Leasing, Dish Direct, and Man's Best Friend. Since that time, he has sat behind the likes of Quincy, Vinnie, Drew, and Tony Romo. Cowboys offensive coordinator Sean Payton, on with Dunham and Miller yesterday, is finally seeing strides from his young QB.
The last couple days, played better. He's getting rid of the ball quicker. He's doing a lot better job of anticipating where we want him to go with the football and processing the decisions he has to make.
Henson, along with the other Cowboy player men, will have a chance to showcase their skills in the first scrimmage of camp later this afternoon. The Rangers will try to take their first win of a three-game series today against the Baltimore Orioles. Homer Happy Texas leads the majors in homers with 183, while the Yankees are a distant second with 153. Pitching principals include John Watson for Texas and Daniel Cabrera for Baltimore. And FC Dallas opens their soccer-only stadium this evening at 7:30. Even though construction hasn't finished, Pizza Hut Park will be sold out at 15,000. Capacity will be just over 21,000 when completed. That's the Ticket Ticker. Next ticker comes at 11:50. Breaking sports news first, guaranteed. I'm Brandon Helms, reminding you to remember the time you spend listening to The Rant, Saturday mornings 10 to noon on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Smirnoff Ice is looking for the hottest humans in Dallas-Fort Worth. Are you hot or not? Go to theticket.com for details and a chance to win a trip or two to Vegas from Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
11:36 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to The Political Rant. Gordon Keith, Dave Lane, 60th anniversary of Hiroshima bombing, one of the biggest flashpoints in the discussion of morality in warfare. It's certainly a convoluted topic. You know what it is? It's like the ultimate hypothetical, because there were so many variables going into that whole decision. Would you do this if this? Well, yeah, I would do it. But then you got to add, then what about this? They were developing this, so we had to do this. We needed to send a message over here to Russia. You know, it's like all these things that were in it make it one of the most fascinating events in modern warfare, and that's why it's still so talked about, and plus just the massive loss of life all at once.
And, you know, it's not the only historic anniversary that was celebrated this week. You know, today, August 6th, is the 60th anniversary of Hiroshima. August 4th, 33 years ago, I was brought home from the orphanage.
Oh, really?
My mom called me and informed me. I didn't even know. I didn't know that August 4th was my adoption day.
So how old were you when you were adopted?
Like 6 weeks old.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Dave.
Thanks.
Maybe we should talk about that instead. How are you on the ticket?
Hey, Gordon, this is Jim. How are you?
Fine.
Good. I was listening, and the last guy was talking about people having selective history or looking at history selectively, and history, by its definition, is pretty much selective. If you're the winner, you get to write it, but everybody has their own version of it. A guy who was on forever a few times ago, talking about, nobody talked about Dresden, nobody talked about the rape of Nanking. I mean, if you're into history, everybody knows the rape of Nanking. It's that's what it's officially called. And everybody officially knows the raising of Dresden.
Right.
And the thing that nobody pays attention to is that
Slaughterhouse Five has a book on that, I think.
What?
Slaughterhouse Five was set in Dresden, wasn't it?
Well, actually, I think that Phil Jackson actually owns the rights to both of those names. I mean, nuclear weapons have been used exactly twice in the history of mankind, both times by us. You can debate whether or not it was right or wrong, but it's a Pandora's box that we opened, and we have to take a little bit of responsibility for that. I mean, you know, we invade Iraq because they might have weapons of mass destruction. Well, we have them, and Pakistan has them, and Israel probably has them, and China has them, and Russia has them. But I just find it to be, we're not treating the rest of the world with equal rules. I just don't get that. And then one guy was Republican guy was talking about total warfare in this century. The entire idea of going away from the British model of, you know, one army lines up here, one army lines up there, that entire thing was broken by Americans. I mean, the entire idea of guerrilla warfare, house-to-house warfare, we pretty much topped out there during the Revolutionary War. So we have to take responsibility for that as well.
All right, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Hi, you're on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Yeah, I was listening to the show, and that other caller that was talking forever, and you had talked about putting complexity in the war and not making it black and white. And,
right.
And I really think that's when you're in the military, you're taught to think in black and white, or your this mind will melt down because your moral abilities will kick in and you won't know what to do.
Yeah, I do. I think you're right there. I think that the complexity has to be taken on by the leaders. And
exactly.
But when you're in the trenches, I mean, obviously you can't sit there and debate.
Right.
Now, I was just fired at. You know, do I really think it's this guy or the guy right next to him and all that?
But,
obviously, you can't do it then.
But what about today's war we have going on where the enemy is the terrorist, okay? And the terrorist thinks that if you have the ideology that's opposite of theirs, then you're the enemy. It doesn't matter if you're a child or a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we're over here trying to go, well, we only want to kill this guy or we only want to kill that guy, and we don't know. They don't care. They want to kill us all.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you combat that? I constantly drive around my car all day for my job, and I sit there and think to myself, how would you combat against that without having to go on, you know, we're going house to house. They're producing terrorists faster than we're killing them or capturing them. So it's a losing battle until we do something humongous.
We have to legalize drugs.
Yeah, I think that's what you're arguing.
Well, you know, that would be such a great tax break. Then we could lower the taxes. But anyways, and then, you know how you were talking earlier about how has this world gotten to where everybody tries to stick a label on everybody else? That's always been the way it's been.
Maybe it has.
It's always been that way. I think you're about my age. I'm 36, graduated from Lake Highlands.
You're younger than that. You're close to death to me.
Exactly. But it's all, you don't really notice that until you get older and you start paying attention. But if you look at that, my dad talks about it the same way. Everybody's always pointing fingers. Oh, you're conservative. You must hate everybody. You want to take somebody's money.
I know. It's just so frustrating. I mean, you're right. Maybe I just opened my eyes to it. But it's just so frustrating how nobody's interested in talking or thinking or anything. They're just interested in reacting. They're just interested in acting on their emotion. And emotion may have no reflection in reality. It's all we need to do is just stereotype, assume everyone thinks the same way, put them in a group, and then react against the group. And it just is so damned frustrating. Because a lot of smart people end up never thinking. Because, you know, it takes, I think, at least for me, it's difficult to. Thinking maybe doesn't come naturally to me. And, you know, you're naturally lazy. And you don't want to think about some complex issue of whether it's warfare or abortion or euthanasia or legalization. I don't want to think about all that. We're just going to have some beer, man. No! You know, that's what you want to do. Maybe we're naturally lazy creatures. I can't speak for everyone. I am.
I am. Sure as hell.
And, you know, it's work to think. And that's why it's so refreshing when somebody comes along, appeals to your emotion, whether a conservative talk show host or a liberal talk show host. All they do is they just start appealing to your emotion. Don't you hate when people get stuff for free? You know, and they capitalize on that feeling that everyone has. You know, and then they convince you into some whole host of ideology by saying, you know what, those other people, everyone you see, all they do is they just want stuff for free. They want you to work hard, and they just want to take what you got. You need to hate them. Look at them. They probably all think that.
Who are they?
See, you're already, I'm working you up.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? It's just all of it becomes an appeal to emotionalism. And we fall for it because we want the world, just make it simple, please. I don't want to research what video camera to buy. Just tell me which one to buy. It's the paradox of choice. The paradox of thinking, too. Hi, on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Is this a dark heart of Gordon Keith?
I don't have a dark heart, sir.
Hey, no, I was talking to you a little earlier. Yeah. Hey, I'll try to make this as brief as possible. Basically, I spoke to you earlier offline about why we had to drop the bomb at that particular point. One, it was to make a very large impact, no pun intended. Secondly, the Japanese were developing superior air power because they were going to be within 4 or 5 months flying jet airplanes. We were going to go in with our bombers once we were able to set up in the Pacific Rim to go in and bomb Tokyo and other cities, that we would not have had the superiority in the war, which would have elongated that war even further, 4, 5, 6 years. These were the advisors that were to Truman that had carried over from the Roosevelt administration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as far as the moral clarity, probably not the most moral thing to do, but also I think that part of the reason that the bomb was dropped was there was a thing called Pearl Harbor, and I think the Bataan Death March probably didn't help the Japanese, sympathies for the Japanese very much either.
No.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm saying I think those were some of the reasons why it had to be done. Plus, the last point is we had to show the war that we were that we meant business. You don't win. You don't go to war to not lose. You go to war to win it. And sometimes you have to do it at all costs, because the tide of the war had already changed in Germany. It was going to take longer for Japan, and we had to make sure that once that bomb was dropped, that we had made our point, and we are here, and we're here to stay. And the war is over. Basically. So I mean, if there's anything that I wasn't clear on, let me know. So.
Believe me, I would not make you repeat anything. Now, thanks for your point. See? Caller calls up, makes his point, doesn't just attack me. That's what I like. And plus they were developing plasma TVs, as Dave mentioned.
Why is Jimmy Johnson smiling behind all of these?
That's not Jimmy Johnson on the business section of the Dallas Morning News. Okay, enough of observing the anniversary of Hiroshima. We need to talk, Dave, as briefly as we can, but we need to talk about what is going on. Here's another
politically correct issue
is the NCAA has acted to get rid of Indian-based mascots.
But they can't totally get rid of them. They're just trying to put the pressure to make schools get rid of them.
Yeah, so the NCAA says you can have an Indian mascot, but you can't participate in our tournaments, right?
Well, I think that they're saying that the physical mascot, like, the Seminole for Florida State rides out onto the field and throws the spear into the ground.
You can be in our tournaments, just your mascots can't appear.
Right. Whether it's a real dude in a Indian headdress or it's a big foam cartoon Indian. If you make it into, a bowl game, or if you make it into the basketball tournament, any official NCAA championship, that mascot cannot be in the building.
Okay, few questions for you. Number one, are American Indians really, do you know any, first of all?
Corby.
Boy, that barely counts. It so barely counts. I wonder if are they really offended by this.
There is another story that accompanies this in the morning news, and it talks about how...
they just showed a clip of the guy on the horse with the flaming spear, right, and he throws it. And to me, that looks cool. It looks neat. The guy isn't doing something... He's not out there playing on some stereotype, he's not...
He's not Chief Wahoo.
He's not gambling and, drinking or whatever the negative stereotypes are. So is it a negative portrayal that he's doing? And if it's not a negative portrayal, then are American Indians really that offended by it?
Well, evidently, there are Indian groups who are applauding the NCAA and saying, that this is long overdue.
Well, maybe so.
And maybe this is the first step towards, Florida State being pressured to change their nickname, or the Washington Redskins changing their nickname. I don't know that it'll ever come
even
to that.
I read this one time. I don't know if it's true. But I read one time, the Catholic Church, it's a lot of times they're portrayed badly in a movie, and sometimes they get upset about it if it's really, a pernicious, portrayal. But a lot of times they just don't take a position on it because they know that it's one of the greatest marketing things they have, is because whenever the church is represented in a movie, it tends to always be the Catholic Church, and movies are so pervasive that people, you know, I'm kind of curious about the Catholic Church, and they research, and they may get into the church that way.
Hey, guys.
I mean, what other coverage? I mean, isn't that the time you see most Native Americans is in the portrayal of, you know, hey, we're the Seminoles, and we're going to bring some real Seminoles out here, and we're going to have them do their traditional war dance or whatever. I mean, isn't there a good aspect to it? Can't there be?
Have y'all seen that even the Indians themselves can't agree because the Florida Seminole tribe has entered a pact with Florida State saying that everything's fine and, you know, they support that, but other Seminole tribes outside of the state are saying, no, that's crap, you shouldn't support that kind of thing. So even within amongst themselves, they can't agree on anything.
But it seems to me like to be an argument of, I mean, not all the exploitation of the Indian image is bad, is it?
Yeah,
like I said, if you come out and near the Seminoles and you have some real Seminoles out there to do some traditional dance, and then kids are sitting in the audience and they look at this, oh, I think that's cool. I want to learn about Indians. And
Or the Seminoles,
and what's the harm? How's that bad?
Or, you know, the opening ceremonies of the Olympics when it was in Salt Lake, and they had, you know, all the, you know, traditional Indian dances and all the representative tribes from Utah. You know, that could, I guess, you know, if you wanted to take a hardline stance, you could say, well, you know, this is just the Olympic machine exploiting Indians as a novelty, you mm-hmm. know, and showing them as like a circus act for the rest of the world. Look at these crazy people that live here in Utah.
Yeah, you could make that argument.
I mean, you know, but the flip side is,
what if it does a lot of good and, you know, a lot of people become aware and a lot of people may read about it and a lot of people are interested in it. And it is exposure to an Indian culture that a kid may not get anywhere else. It annoys me, this categorical kind of thing, when politically correct thinking gets so overwrought that it loses sight of a bigger picture, and that sometimes you can utilize exploitation for good reasons. You can exploit things goodly. Does that make sense?
Huh? You can exploit things goodly.
Yeah, exploitation is not always a bad thing. It's not just a pejorative term, is it?
It has the negative connotation.
Yeah, it does.
Sure.
And I don't know, I mean, like, I know in contracts and stuff, you know, you have the right to exploit this intellectual property or something, and it's not used negatively. It's a good thing. You should exploit that. You should use it for some purpose.
Yeah, it's become one of those kind of taboo words,
I guess. Now, you know, when you get into, okay, the Cleveland Indians mascot or something, all right, that's drawn a little bit too cartoony and is offensive, okay, big deal, I'm not so married to that mascot, you know. When you get into, yeah, the Seminoles enter an agreement, they say it's good, but hey, listen.
Yeah, and they show the Illinois Illini mascot on the cover of the morning news, and it's another, you know, specific tribe.
Right. I don't know, but once again, this is going to be an argument, not about rationality, not about, okay, well, here's an issue. Let's think it through. Let's think of how best we can do this. Satisfies, you know, kind of both people. Let's see, what is their objection? Okay, well, let's absorb that objection and figure out, you know, it's going to be none of that. It's going to be people yelling at each other on both sides based out of emotion.
I wonder what
we're stalemated once again.
I wonder what Kid Craddock thinks of this story.
Yeah, what is your Indian name?
Yeah.
There's another good one. Okay, was that bad when he did that?
Evidently it was, because he had to apologize.
He had to apologize. And
the Cherokee Nation or whoever. I don't know.
What's your Indian name? I mean, do you really think Kid Craddock had evil intent? You know, he is out to destroy a people.
Mine's Two-Knuckle Brown Eye.
History's great denials.
I didn't.
I've been
stabbed.
What?
I have such a hard life, George.
I know you haven't. You're a 15-year-old phenom.
Yeah, what's been hard about your life?
I grew up with the dignity of a hyena.
You grew up with a what?
The dignity of a hyena.
Dignity of a hyena.
I was a discarded zygote. Unwanted by the mother who bore me.
She didn't want you.
I escaped China in the womb of a jackal.
Thought you were Korean.
Then I grew up eating the bio-waste found in garbage cans near your plastic surgery centers. Until I grew strong. I was raised by
homeless.
The Ticket Drop Page Radio.
Hey, it's Fitz, along with me, the CEO of RepairMyCreditMap.com, Doug Parker. Not only is he the CEO, he's also a personal friend. And Doug, I can ask people, are they sick of being in debt? Because if they're sick of being in debt, they need to call you at 1-888-4-MY-REPAIR. Now, everybody listening right now, I got to ask you a question. Are you sick of having bad credit? If you are, you need to log on to this website, www.RepairMyCreditNow.com. Doug, why do people need to log on right now?
Because their credit is their future.
Now, what do you mean by that, Doug?
Well, without having good credit, it's tough to do just about anything in life. It's hard to get a job. It's hard to get approved for a new automobile. It's hard to get into a home. That's the American dream.
So basically, whenever people call you at 1-888-4-MY-REPAIR, they can basically get their credit repaired just like that.
Absolutely.
All they have to do is make the call?
That's correct, Chris. What you got to do is get your credit scores up high enough to qualify for a new one.
What about people that are embarrassed to call you up and say, Doug, I got bad credit. I can't do this.
Don't be embarrassed with bad credit. Put that behind you. Give us a call right now. It's 888-4-MY-REPAIR.
www.repairmycreditnow.com. Your credit is your future. Call RepairMyCreditNow.
Joining us on the ticket hotline, I believe we have made contact with the Cowboys owner.
Hey, good morning, man.
And general manager Jerry Jones. Morning, Jerry. How are you?
There isn't any way that Don Perkins' name is going to make it over to the new stadium.
Yeah. Now, why do you want to start off the interview with that?
I don't want his name dirtying up my new sheetrock.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, I guess.
Yeah, I predict the movers will lose those letters in the move somehow.
Gosh, Jerry.
Well, you know, truth be told, we are going to be done with the Ring of Honor when we get to the new stadium anyway.
You're not even going to transfer it over there?
No, I'm going to start some new idea that I think is going to be a lot more popular. We're going to start the Graveyard of Champions.
The Graveyard of Champions.
Yeah, and the way it works, you sign a statement.
In everything we do, like our new smothered steak fajitas.
You're not even going to transfer it over there?
No, I'm going to start some new idea that I think is going to be a lot more popular. We're going to start the Graveyard of Champions.
The Graveyard of Champions.
Yeah, and the way it works, you sign a statement stating the statement that if you want to be honored by the Cowboys, that you will donate your body to the team, and we can bury you in the Graveyard of Champions at a new stadium.
Is it going to be like behind the end zone or something? Or?
Yeah, it'll be just, as a matter of fact, it may be in the end zone, and you just kind of have to dodge the headstones.
Oh, that'd be great. Just like the old Yankee Stadium. That'd be
right,
fantastic.
Right. We've already dug up Bull and Bob, getting him ready for the move.
Oh, no.
Texas Ram, and we dug up Don Meredith. And
he's not dead.
We're also trying to secure the dead gay bones of Bob Lilly.
He's still alive. Still also alive, and don't call him gay. And why are you...
Radio. Issues again for as long as you own your car. So if you want a brake service you can count on, come to Midas, America's leader in brakes. They've been servicing Texas for almost 30 years, and unlike some of those brake shops, the Midas lifetime guarantee is good for as long as you own your car. Best of all, brake pads and shoes are just $39.99 per axle plus installation. Who can beat that? So swing on by your DFW Midas for a 45-point brake inspection and for the best price guarantee. Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Ceramic pads, additional parts, and labor extra. Participation may vary. Most vehicles. See manager for limited guarantee terms. Sports news first guaranteed.
A big part of the Cowboys offseason was spent looking for a cornerback to go opposite of Terrence Newman. This ticker brought to you by Man's Best Friend and Star Power. Dallas hopes to fill that need with former Browns corner Anthony Henry. Newman, on with Bad Radio at training camp in Oxnard, already has Henry scouted out.
He's pretty agile for, you know, being 6'1", 6'2". I mean, it surprised the heck out of me watching him, how fluid he was out there.
The first scrimmage of camp comes later this afternoon, but not before a Bill Parcells press conference at 1:30. Mark Teixeira is third in the American League with 29 homers, one behind Manny Ramirez and A-Rod. Tex and the other Ranger homer hitters will try to tee off Baltimore starter Daniel Cabrera, who sports an 8-9 record and a 4.66 ERA.
Texas will counter with 0-1 John Wasson. And Billy Mayfair has added to his lead at the International. Second round play has begun, and the American has pushed his lead to 22 points under the modified Stableford scoring system through 12 holes. He's 5 points better than Charles Howell III. That's the Ticket Ticker. Our next ticker comes at 12:10 with Ty Walker during Ticket Sports Saturday. Breaking sports news first, guaranteed. I'm Brendan Helms reminding you to remember the time you spend listening to The Ranch Saturday mornings, 10 to noon on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
At Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, we realize the economy is up and down, which is why we remind you that the best cure for a plunging Dow is a plunging neckline.
11:59, Sports Radio, 1310, The Ticket. So, we get to the end of another rant that gets away from us. Some topic gets brought up and we go off on some tangent.
I didn't even know coming into the show that that was the anniversary of Hiroshima today, or Hiroshima.
I didn't either. Somehow we got to talking about it.
How do you say it?
Me? Hiroshima.
Hiroshima?
Yeah. I don't like the Hiroshima. I also say Caribbean.
Instead of Caribbean?
Yeah. Which I think that's out of favor now to say Caribbean.
Why? Because we killed too many of them? Or no, they killed our...
Fins of
they killed our hot 18-year-olds.
Yeah, I know.